my God. Oh, my God.
You feeling it a little, Ro?
Oh, my God. Tom Skilling said the S word on the radio.
I know. I heard that. And earlier he said the F word, and that was enough. And now followed by the S word.
He really needs to stop.
He's got a bad swearing problem.
His profanity is not acceptable. We have to talk to Tom about that.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But the nice part is, I know you're going to be out at Northwestern tomorrow. I'm going to be out at Northwestern
Go
tomorrow.
Cats.
Go Cats.
Go Cats.
It's not going to be as bad tomorrow. I want to get the full forecast from Tom later but about our weekend. But
yeah,
it's looking
up at 4:00.
A little nicer than today.
I'm not letting Tom join us until 4 o'clock.
Yeah. And I like that everyone wants to tailgate, but when I explained to Kevin and John Williams that the tailgating starts at like 8:30 in the morning, I'm not sure they'd all be involved as much as
seriously. I'm
well,
like an expert tailgater. I've started
really?
At like 6 a.m. before.
Yeah, you got to know how to do
my first rodeo, Anna.
Please, you're showing off your rookiness right
yes,
here.
Yes, yes.
You guys would show up that early for
college?
Oh, I'm not gonna, but I have.
I mean, in college, you woke up before the sun was up.
There are certain things you wake up
kegs and eggs, baby. Let's go.
Okay. Wow. Did not expect that.
Yeah, 8:30. I mean, that's late for me.
Church, I don't know, but tailgating.
Yeah. I mean, if a Bears game, I mean, you know what time the people have to show up at a Bears game to get their truck in?
Yes. Yeah. When I did tailgater of the game for the Bears for 3 years, we used to go out there 3 hours before because we had to get it edited and everything.
Yeah.
And I had to get back to the studio. So it would 3 hours before, you have an amazing number of tailgaters out in all of the parking lots out there, even on the bone-chilling cold days. Doesn't matter.
Bone-chilling. That's what she just said, bone-chilling.
Which is kind of describing the weather. Was that something else Tom Skilling said?
I was bone-chilled on my way to work today.
I know.
I had to run and do a bunch of errands this morning, and I'm running around, and I'm like, what the hell? I was too hot. I was sweating. I was out of control on Tuesday. And then here it is, Friday, and I'm like, I am in full winter regalia, and this is just not right, my friends.
No. It doesn't feel right. And then the rain doesn't help either because you feel colder. Let's face it.
Yeah.
It's just not right.
No. And
Tom won't want to appear on the program today.
No, I turned him off. Look at this. I turned him off. Hold on. Let me turn him on. Hold on.
Cut off his line to
Tom, do you want to say anything to us right now?
No, he doesn't.
He's thinking very carefully about how he's going to word the forecast.
Don't think Tom wants to say anything to us right now, Tom.
You've offended everyone in the studio, Tom. So be careful.
You can hear him breathing back there, cowering.
I would imagine they'd have dancing and music in the
Christmas
weather
music?
Studio.
Christmas music.
Is it a war on Christmas?
Yes.
We're not allowed to say that.
I'm not.
The holidays.
Let me explain something.
Not ready to hear Christmas.
I have a war on Christmas.
You do.
I have a war on Christmas advertising right now.
I do too.
Because it's still middle of October. I'm okay. I'm a traditionalist. I like Christmas advertising the week before Thanksgiving. That's when I want it. Not even then, really. The Friday of Thanksgiving.
I was at a store today. I saw gingerbread cookies with snowflakes on the packaging.
Ew.
See? Wrong.
I was like,
Wrong.
Why is that allowed in October on the shelves? Early October.
It's my war on Christmas because it's telling me winter is coming.
Ro's like ripping down advertisements along Michigan Avenue.
People are like, oh my God.
Why is this up?
This is exactly what Donald Trump warned us about. And I'm like, no, it has to do with the weather.
He's biting off gingerbread heads and spraying them out.
They'll be showing it on Fox News.
Right, exactly.
Look at this.
Look at talk show host rampage against Christmas.
In Chicago.
Liberal media.
Cold. The horrible city of Chicago.
Yeah.
Look at what they do there.
Just when he thought it couldn't get any worse.
Right.
And he's white.
He's white.
A real traitor to the cause. Yeah, I don't know. I have no war. But now, officially, this is Donald Trump's second Christmas as president, so officially the war is over.
Right.
He won the war. I told you the war's over. Everybody loves Christmas now. Totally great, especially Melania.
We'll find out if Melania likes Christmas. That may be one of the questions asked. Like Tom Yamas.
We are going to talk to Tom Yamas a little bit later on in the program. He is going to tell us what happened in that interview with Melania.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be very interesting. It's coming your way at about... I'm going to cut Tom short because he's going to say... I already planned this. He's going to say snow and I'm going to just hang up on him.
Oh, yeah, that's press a button. I wouldn't hang up on Tom.
He's on punishment.
I wouldn't hang up on Tom.
Says snow, I'm going to reach for my belt. I'm going to stand up and reach for my belt like I'm going to undo it. All right, now. What did you just say? Oh, hell no.
Get to your room, mister.
Not at my house.
my house. Better watch your next words.
That was always so scary when your dad pretended to undo his belt buckle.
Pretended.
But in some cases, maybe all the way for some, but that was like you dreaded that moment. You just booked it for the neighbor's house or something. I'm sorry, Dad.
I'm going to do homework. Bye.
We're bringing child abuse.
Oh yeah,
back and we're back getting and rid both. Of Christmas. All one opening of a show.
Love
right
that.
Here.
Great start.
Yeah. There we
it's
go.
Perfect.
All right, coming up, Michael Steele is going to join us. He's the Man of Steel, or as he prefers, Man of Steel.
Boy, does he have some things to say about the Kanye West White House lunch? Woo!
Yeah.
He said he's ready to puke or something like that.
Oh, it was just the craziest thing I've ever seen. And you know what's it's funny? I mean, I thought it was crazy, but we talk to our black brothers and sisters, mm-hmm. and yes, tell Fox News I said that too.
Okay.
And I heard the sound of embarrassment. Such massive embarrassment. You know, there are, you know, you talk to folks and they'll say, you know, they watch TV and they uh-huh. hear there's been a shooting or a murder and they're like, oh God, please don't let it be another black guy right there. Right. And then it is. And they're like, oh no. And they don't say black guy because I say black guy because I'm a white guy. But
yeah.
They say, please don't let it be one of us. Mm-hmm. And then Kanye shows up at the White House. Well, okay. Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Maybe this will be good. It's Kanye, and maybe he's going to say something like, oh, no. Oh, hell no.
Yeah. He said a lot.
Yeah. And it was like sort of like, oh, please don't say that. Oh, please. Oh, no. And it was crazy. I mean, he's off his meds, and somehow the president thinks that's just great. But I think it was quite an
orchestrated moment by the White House.
I think the Daily Show, I think, summed it up best last night.
What was that?
When Trevor Noah said in his own head, Donald Trump was wondering, would it be racist if I called the police right now? All right. Let's talk to Michael Steele. But first, let's find out from Judy. Welcome back, Judy.
Thank you.
Surprisingly, you took a Thursday off. You didn't take a Friday, but that's a separate issue.
You know what? I don't force myself to get sick. I just am.
Okay.
I will do 2 days, though. Thanks for
this.
The tip.
This is where Judy, because I know that Thursday trick, because that Thursday trick allows you to be off on a Friday.
Yeah, the extra bonus day, because the sickness is still quite not over yet.
But she's got a big thing on Sunday, so she can't miss that.
I can't.
Right, and you can't. And you don't want to let people know that you're sick. But you're not.
I'm not sick.
No, you're not sick.
Fine.
You're just taking the day off. It's a very needed day off.
Absolutely.
All right, what's coming up in the news of the bottom of the hour?
Well, Hurricane Michael taking its toll.
Watch Micah and Joe, Micah Mater, and Joe Donlin weeknights on WGN TV News at 9.
It's Man of Steel! Oh, man, that's good. You know,
no help.
Getting older, Michael. You know,
there's no help for you at all.
No. All right, I want you to know what's crazier, that introduction or Kanye West. I'll sit down and wait for my answer.
You know, in a weird sort of Trumpian world, both.
Yeah,
both. Yeah.
How did you like the fact? I think this is one of those things. I like to sit next to really short people, so I look much taller. I think that's exactly what Trump was doing with Kanye. Was he's going to sit there and he's going to look like the most rational man on earth when,
right.
when
by comparison
Kanye is done.
Yeah, but you know, I think that's exactly right. He certainly played this one as well as he could, and you know, the bottom line was that was nothing more than to assure those voters out there, white voters out there, who think he's somehow racist and insensitive to black folks, to sort of see I'm not, see, I got Conway, he's actually in the White House, I'm letting him beat on the Resolute desk. He just dropped the F-bomb.
Right. He's my guy.
We're good. We're good here.
He is my N-word. That is what he is. And then he shakes his hand. He touches him.
He hugs him.
But while sitting, though. But while sitting.
Yes.
You know, he never gets up. I never understood that. He does not get up from his desk.
He got up. Exactly. Remember, that, I mean, look at the staging of that. You know, he's sitting around the desk. First off, there's no, for a president who's supposed to be as busy as he is, there's nothing ever on his desk. So I don't get that. I don't get that. There's not even a piece of paper. And if there was a lot of paper, the art of taking it all off to put it back on just doesn't work. Most presidents, you know, just the desk is the desk. But here's the deal. This was just nothing more than a backdrop. This was the Oval Office was just one more scene. This is no different from West Wing to, you know, Independence Day. You know, any scene, any movie that has a scene in the Oval Office, that's what this was, essentially. And that's what it's always been. And Trump has worked very hard to get it to the point where every day he can play out another episode in the presidency of Donald Trump. And yesterday was an episode in which he invited his black friend over to the house, and they got to sit around and in front of cameras churning and talk. And Kanye had clearly an episode of some sort, because I couldn't follow the logic of anything. I mean, we went from the 13th Amendment to I don't have a daddy to, you know, Trump is Superman. I made me Superman. I don't know.
Well, but the part, I got to stop you for a second, though, because this is the story that I think needs to be addressed. And we look at it from the perspective of Chicagoans here. And that is this whole lunacy about Larry Hoover.
Yeah.
And the release of Larry Hoover from prison, who is responsible single-handedly for thousands of deaths of young African-American men. Thousands of deaths, violent deaths of young African-American men, and then maybe thousands more deaths of drug addicts throughout the Midwest and even the Southwest. I mean, the Gangster Disciples worked their way all the way to Los Angeles. I mean, this is a very bad guy. And then for Trump not to be properly, after Kanye was wearing a Free Larry Hoover shirt,
SNL,
not to know what Kanye was going to say and not to know who Larry Hoover is, to be able not to be prepped. I don't expect that he would know, but to be at least warned, hey, you know, he might bring this up. This is who this guy is. And if he does, you know, maybe you want to sternly say to him, well, I don't think we're going to look at that. But instead, he just does the wuss thing, which even if he did know, I don't know, who is it? Like, and it's just, it's the worst. It would be like saying, it would be like, you know, a guy from Milwaukee going, they go, there was this Jeffrey Dahmer guy.
Right.
He was the nicest guy ever.
He was the nicest guy. And, you know, we used to go on picnics with our family.
If he were dead, we should pardon him posthumously. I mean, it's like
it did seem weird to even have the floor given to that sort of a name drop, and he did seem surprised. Is it possible the president was surprised by hearing the name Larry Hoover and asked what he actually was responsible?
Know who the hell Larry Hoover? Know who Larry Hoover is.
But Kanye promoted his visit. He promoted it.
He thought Hoover was a vacuum cleaner. Come on, stop it.
We just thought there's so many in line ahead of Larry Hoover for, you know, appealing to the president.
I got a minute left, so I got this question for you. Saudi Arabia, will there be a change in our posture towards Saudi Arabia if it is proven that they killed this journalist?
No. No, I don't think so, because Donald Trump and his son-in-law are working a deal in Saudi Arabia. Look, Jared needs money to bail him out of 666 Madison Avenue or Fifth Avenue, wherever his property is in New York. That's in a hell of a lot of trouble. And, of course, Donald Trump, you know, calculation is, okay, so since they're onto us getting our money from Russia, maybe we'll start getting money from Saudi Arabia because we've got all these projects down the line. So I don't see any change here. This is what happens. I mean, the Emoluments Clause is not just about, you know, you wrote a check, got a check from a government or something. It's so much more. And this is such a good example of why the founding fathers did not want the personal business and affairs of the president to get wrapped up into his responsibilities as president. And this is a classic example. And look, you know, when it's all said and done, you know, this thing could get really deep real fast in terms of what happened to this journalist. But more importantly, who was behind what happened to this journalist
and who signed off on
happened to this? And who, quite honest, to use the term, as someone put it to me, who delivered him? to the Saudis in Turkey. All because right. when you look at the scene of him going in there, this is a man who didn't seem to have a care in the world, and clearly he should have.
All right, Michael Steele, we'll leave it there. Man of Steel!
Thanks, Michael. Have a
find
good weekend.
Find the podcast. We're all fine podcasts. Are sold
guys.
On the internet. Thank you.
Bye, Michael.
Right, Judy Pilak has the WGN News being brought to you by American Weathermakers. Widespread Frost was my pen name when I was Poet Laureate of Cook County.
How about that? A little many people, Chicago
many
history.
People don't know that, but that was my pen name.
I thought we weren't allowed to use the F word on the program. At least
it was a last name. I looked at it as a last name. That's how I did it. Oh man, I don't know. I don't like what's going on. Hey, Judy, I want to just mention something to you that's very important. Judy on Sunday is going to be at the Goodwill in New Lenox, located 441 East Lincoln Highway, from noon until 2. They're going to have food from Bartolini's. They're going to give you a chance to win prizes, including a Goodwill gift card. That's not a Giftwill, it's a Goodwill.
It's a Giftwill too, pretty much.
Yeah, it really is. And what Judy has promised is the spookiest of things.
Yes, a whole tablescape that someone can use.
What does a tablescape even mean? What does
that
mean?
It's all these decorations you can put on your table. You can put on your mantle, on your front porch.
How big is it?
It's a lot of stuff.
Oh, it's a bunch
of... Let me just tell you one thing I did find at Goodwill for... well, it doesn't matter how much it costs because everyone's going to get it for free. But I found the shell of an old grandfather clock.
Mmm.
It was perfect. I had
it
to have
perfect.
It. Yeah. That'll be the big statement.
Centerpiece.
Yeah. But there's a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And also, well, this...
What? It sounds like she's in a haunted castle right now, and I'm not doing anything. I'm not even touching anything.
It just happens when I talk.
Yeah. Yeah, you're scary.
Really? You're not touching anything? We will also, in addition to those gift cards, have Bears tickets, Hawks tickets. What else do you need? Bears, Hawks.
Yeah, that's some pretty big giveaways there.
Yeah.
So that's awesome.
And the pizza and some cupcakes from Small Cakes, I believe it's called. And oh, my gosh, it's such a fun
time.
Oh,
my gosh.
And I'll be dressed up, of course.
Bartolini's brings food for our Bears postgame show, and Hamp and OB spend half the postgame show talking about their meatballs. So if the listeners are lucky, maybe we'll get some Bartolini's meatballs.
Well, we're definitely going to have pizzas.
They got the biggest balls!
That's kind of how it goes.
Another balls!
Best balls ever.
Juicy! Fart, but juicy! That's how it sounds on that show. Yeah, it's just a lot of screaming.
Which returns Sunday, by the way, after the Bears game.
It's going to be a big one. I have thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, do I have thoughts? I have the frights. I'm so excited about this.
Oh, my God.
I'm shaking a little bit in my own juices here.
Is that what it... Okay.
Noon kickoff.
It isn't. I mean, we haven't had a whole lot of normalcy here on a Sunday.
It's true.
Right.
And then to be able to look forward to, like, Sunday morning, you get up, you're going to, you know, make some eggs.
Make an
the
omelet.
Smell of bacon going on in the house. And and then even while I'm still just wearing my underwear, I go down and I lie down on the couch.
Yep.
I'm inviting people over, though. If you want to come over and just, you know, watch me in my pajamas down there with my hair on sideways, feel free to do it.
Full-blown bum on Sunday morning. You throw a pregame show on, put some sweatpants on.
Wow, you guys really know how to talk to the girls.
What time do the pregame shows start these days? I mean, I'm waiting for noon kickoffs.
I mean, some of them, I think, start like at 8. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, ESPN has this whole crazy run-up.
ESPN's is like, it's like 12-hour pregame show.
Yeah. But Fox, I like to go over to the Fox local because you got Sweet Lou Canellas, who's just...
Fantastic.
Always out of his mind and always wearing a tie that is the knot is way too big.
He looks good. We're going to have him on the show today.
I'll tell him that.
4:40.
Is he coming in here? Because if he's coming in here, he is coming in here.
Check out his tie. We'll take a picture.
Oh.
Post it on social
media. Don't tell
him
I said this because he'll hit me.
We'll just examine it in person. We'll let him know what we think.
Anyway, so he starts with that. And then there's a couple different versions of that show. There's like the show that Fox 32 produces, and then it slips over, and then there's the show that the Bears produce, which is different.
And then that leads into the national pregame show,
right? Because only happy things are said on the one the Bears produces.
Right.
Even when the Bears, like during
for the last 7 years.
During the John Fox era, it was always like...
This is going to be a great game.
Lou would have to go, oh, God, they're going to be so good today. That's right, Lou.
I love that.
They're going to be amazing.
Very optimistic.
Big bounce back week. They're only 8 games under .500.
Right, exactly.
This is the game that turns it all around.
You know what? I think this is about the time. You know, I think we're going to see a real something out there.
Like they're kicking into high gear in week 14.
Yeah, no, we really don't care.
And every year, Lou would come on and make predictions, and it would be 10-6, 10-6, 10-6.
But then after you'd have Fox lying to you for half an hour that the Bears produced, then Lou would come back on and go, it's going to be a bloodbath. Oh, my God, it's good.
Don't
pay attention to what you just heard.
Right.
For my bettors out there, go the other way. Run.
So true. So true.
Do you know what I've noticed that I find really interesting? I have noticed that the Fox, the ESPN, College Game Day is one of the greatest television shows ever produced. And when you look at that show, people when they're watching it, they don't appreciate what really the effort that ESPN goes to make that thing work.
Oh, it's incredible.
Because to do a remote like that over 3 hours and move that crew, and sometimes they don't know where they're moving until the next week, right?
Right.
They're choosing those things. And then to do those setup packages and to do the little remote stages and all the other things they do, it is such an undertaking.
And the drunken college students surrounding your stage.
I always wonder, how do they control that? I mean, because a college student, can't they just bring any sign to that game? And many would be inappropriate, but you don't necessarily see
those always surface. ESPN does a good job of filtering many out, but they surface.
Yeah, and you see them on the Instagram feed. You don't necessarily see them on the college game day.
The sign I tried to bring to college game day.
But they're really good at doing that. And they've got there's literally hundreds of people. No wonder ESPN's always complaining that they're going broke. This is why. Right. When you look at that, at how they do this, their production for baseball and for this and for it's just fantastic.
Well, the energy pops through the screen and it makes me interested in no matter what the matchup is. I have no vested interest.
Exactly.
And then you watch that show, you're like, oh my gosh.
Well,
it sucks you in.
It feels like you're on the campus of Ole Miss or some other SEC school.
No matter where they go.
Yeah.
Even when they go to places where you're like, like you just said, Anna, like
it's not, know where it is.
Not really relevant to anything. They make it relevant and they give you this, and all of a sudden you want to watch that game. It is genius, genius television.
And
the guys on that desk. The anchor, whose name I have never known, and I refuse to learn because they keep changing those anchors out with other guys who look just like them. So I don't know who the main guy is.
Reese Davis, right now.
Okay,
it was Chris Fowler forever.
Right, but if you put Reese Davis and Chris Fowler in front of me right now and said under penalty of going to the Saudi embassy in Turkey,
you don't want to
tell
do that.
Me which one is which. I couldn't tell you.
Pretty much. Expensive suits, good hair, you know, white guys, pretty much the same look.
Kirk Herbstreit is one of my, I know he's an Ohio State guy, that's why, but he's one of my favorite guys of all times. And the coach, oh my God.
Lee Corso. Always gets the crowd going.
Lee Corso is of all the people in media, he's the guy I fear dying most. It's like, because, you know, he had some health issues, and he comes back every year. That's how tough he is. And he sits out there in that cold, and he puts that, you know, whatever hat is on that he's going to be putting on, the head of whether it's the mascot or some other goofy kind of accoutrement. And it's always fun, and he's so great. And even though he doesn't make any sense in predictions, but what I have noticed...
It's kind of like the coach.
What I have noticed is that but now they got that bear guy.
Who's that?
He's a guy who sits off the set.
Oh, he's like sort of a producer guy.
No, he looks like a producer guy, but he went from being a stats guy to a pure gambling prognosticator.
You know what? You see how much the sports broadcasting is turning to gambling.
Yes.
Full-time
yes.
Actual programming is it's huge. I mean, ESPN has shows dedicated to it. There are shows popping up online. VSiN, of course, out in Vegas. You're going to see like a whole network, like an ESPN dedicated to gambling.
ESPN used to never allow that.
Right, because it was weird and they didn't want to mess with the leagues who they had agreements with and all those sorts of things.
They never did it. And now they're gambling, literally. They're like, there's a peewee game down the block. And Bear, tell us about it.
I hate to say it because I'm not super into gambling, but it really gets our whole family into it when we get together and we put some money down on, you know, different sports games usually on Sundays when we do it. And just sort of, you start paying attention to every single game and you get engaged in the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's like I used to just watch Bears and then be out.
Sunday is the day the Lord wanted you to bet.
Right, as the saying goes.
Turns out.
Yes. That's exactly what Boris told her.
Right. That's the day the Lord wanted you to lose all your grocery money for your kids.
Hey!
Lay it all down.
No diapers this week, right?
You need something to repent.
Right. And Boris is sitting in the corner of the nightclub.
Yeah, and he's got a little square, like an 8-inch TV watching some European soccer game. With,
right,
because like,
that's what guys are betting on. That's all his guys are betting on. Right. Right.
They got their Adidas sweatpants on. They're in the back room with their, you know, their,
oh my God,
their warm-up
you
jackets on.
Yeah, do you want the Real Madrid minus 1.5?
It's the clearest he'll ever speak when talking about the bets.
Yeah, we've...
One in the hook for a dime.
You make good, right? You make good
you
on
make
this.
Good, you make good on this. The way you owe me money from last week. I cannot take this.
We'll send guy your way.
If not, Big Boris is waiting in the back.
Right.
But doesn't like FanDuel and all those sites, don't they get rid of those the bookie types? Or no, you don't think that happens?
You know, I think Kevin made the point. Was it you that was making the point yesterday that no one's giving up their
you
bookie?
Talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that...
people love their bookies.
Right. I mean, we could say like, whoa, $500 million are gambled, whatever it may be. Well, it's not all going to be taxed on. Why would some guy like, hey, Joe, my bookie, I'm leaving you so I can go get taxed twice as much by the government? You know what I mean?
Although, I don't know. You know, your bookie has a little bit of a tax structure,
right,
too.
Right, but you're gonna get more tax from the government eventually. Right. I think you will. But they'll eventually start making some serious dough on
this. Was all in relation to legalizing marijuana, which also he was saying that...
Right. Hey, Joe, my weed dealer.
Your sometimes guy. Your bookie is your weed guy, too. It can be.
Oh, they double up on that
sometimes,
stuff.
Yeah.
I did not know.
Yeah.
Can we just pay you in weed, man?
If you want to be a full-service guy, you should be the weed and the bookie guy.
I go heavier on weed these days, actually.
One-stop shop.
Yeah. That's exactly what he said.
Hey!
It's Boris
what
for
do you need?
All right. Let us take a short time out. I'm just imagining. We should have, you know what? So they got, maybe we should have our own guy. Maybe find out if Boris knows anything about sports.
We should have our gambling guy.
And have a gambling guy and have Boris be our gambling guy.
Because you and I go in and out of gambling talk here and there. We should get a gambling guy.
And let's face it. Who is not spending a few bucks on a Sunday?
Right? Know, a little bit here, a little bit there.
Yeah. I mean, no one's getting killed. I mean, I got killed for the first 3 weeks. I'm missing two fingers now as a result of it, but other than that, I'm fine. All right, let's check in with Judy, find out what's coming up at the top of the hour.
A teen in DuPage County charged with murder won't be making her orthodontist appointment.
It's flu shot season this Monday morning, 6:40. Tune into the Steve Cochran Show. Dr. Kevin Most, he'll be in studio administering flu shots to the show members, regardless of whether or not they are scared of needles.
Yeah, whether they want them or not.
Who cares?
Yeah. I think Kevin Most is going to go away in handcuffs if he tries that.
I don't know. He can be very convincing.
He's very good.
Yes.
He's excellent. If you need, he's the kind of doctor that I will call and just cry to and then hang up. I got my flu shot already.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah.
That was early.
Yeah. I went over to the, you know, we used to get them at work.
Mm-hmm.
And now, unless you got to deal with a guy like him, I mean, it's funny. Companies don't want to invest in that. That is a really good investment.
You think about lost productivity and the way you usually pick it up at work, or you can transfer it to coworkers, and you got a lot of sick employees.
I've never had a flu shot.
Of course you haven't.
Boris administrators those two.
Yes, it's right. I can give you the Miami plus four in the hook and flu shot. And if you need a bag of weed.
It's good for recovery.
Yeah, you should actually get a flu shot. It's a very simple thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Don't. Because, you know, I got the flu once when I was your age, like around your age. And I thought the real flu, because if you get the real flu, it's not like if you have not had the flu, if you don't know that you've had the flu, you have not had the flu.
I get the flu once every 3 years.
The flu where you can't get out of bed.
Can't get out of bed. 104 fever.
Right. Can't move.
Yeah.
For 2 days, you can't move.
I'm susceptible to high fevers.
And you're hoping that you're not going. You're hoping to. You think you're going to die. Then you're hoping you will. It's that kind of a feeling.
But if you get every 3 years, Violetta, why don't you get the flu shot? You don't like needles? Or
I like
you don't
to
like
get through it and just know that it's an accomplishment.
Live life on the edge. Mm-hmm. That's a good call.
Yeah.
I need
That's
to get a flu shot.
That's the dumbest freaking thing I have ever heard. Among the dumbest things I've ever heard.
No, I mean, I just never got it. And
I don't think you've actually had the flu then. Because once you have the flu, you'll never not get the flu shot.
Knock on wood.
Yeah. All right. Good luck to you. It's nice knowing you.
Should get Dr. Kevin Most to come.
We'll go as a team and get flu shot.
Yeah, we should just tackle her and right, like right in her thigh, just right there, boom.
I'll act like I'm dying.
All right, Judy Pilak is standing by. She's got the WGN News coming to you from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Do you hear that? Think about that for a second. That's coming your way right here on WGN in 2 minutes. Mm.
You're as cold as ice. You're willing to sacrifice our love.
All right.
You can't be happy.
Tom Skilling ducked me earlier today.
Yep. He's used the S word, the F word, and the C word. Snow, frost, and chill over the last 48 hours.
I've got to clean up my act. You know, no two ways about
You're
it.
You're offending everyone.
Did you actually use the word chill with the word wind in front of it?
No.
Okay.
No, I didn't do that yet. So, no, I'm innocent of that charge.
Okay.
But
I don't like what I'm seeing here. I'm not going to lie to you, Tom Skilling. You're a great disappointment to me. All right. So, can I just explain something here? Did you say that it was snowing?
Yes.
In the deep southern suburbs here?
Yeah, we've had it's coated the ground in a few areas. We've had snow reported in Bloomington, Normal, Manuka, Mendota, Dwight, out west in Dixon, and also Sublette.
Now, Manuka is that's kind of a Chicago suburb, right?
Yeah, it is. I think that
I like Manunk. Of the Illinois towns, you got your Manuka, but Manunk seems to be a more fun one to say for me. I don't know why.
Manuka's pretty fun.
Yeah.
I like Shanahan.
Shanahan's nice.
Yeah. That is nice.
Great one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And Algonquin has a nice ring to it, too.
We have texters telling us Amboy, snow.
There you go.
Pawpaw.
And Pawpaw, that's in Michigan.
Okay. So that doesn't count.
No, there's a Pawpaw, Illinois, too.
Is it Pawpaw, Illinois? Ask a texter. Is it Pawpaw, Illinois?
Well, they're an 815 area code, so I'm going to guess it is Illinois.
Yes, it is indeed. Mm-hmm. Pawpaw's in Lee County, which is kind of out near Sublette. And
we get there's 100 counties in Illinois.
Yes.
And there are some stupid names in these counties, too. I just want to point
that out.
There's
an Anna, Illinois. That's not a stupid one.
You know what's interesting, though? You can always tell when somebody's from outside the area because they mispronounce these names. And
yes.
Yeah, you really have that problem down in Florida or up in Wisconsin. There are a lot of... Although, you know, I remember falling on my face with the Embra River because it's spelled E-M-B-A-R-R-A-S-S, I believe is the spelling.
Like embarrassed?
So I called it the Embarrassed River. And I remember Forrest Respis, this was like 25 years ago, Forrest was one of our producers. He said, it's the Embra River. And I said, oh. And it's like, you know, Cairo and Cairo, you can mispronounce that pretty easily.
People even mispronounce Illinois. Illinois.
Yeah, Illinois. Yes.
Yeah.
My roommate in college did that. And I was like, wait a minute. You're Northwestern. You got to say it right.
Well, there's Illinois and Illinois. I happen to bristle when I hear Illinois, but I know there's a lot of people who say it.
Yes.
But Illinois that's just got to stop.
What about Loyola or Loyola?
Well, in Chicago, it's Loyola. It's also Toyota, too, by the way. If you're going to put, you want to pull over a car.
I always said Loyola. Is it?
I say Loyola, too.
Yeah.
I do, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you said it's Loyola?
Loyola. In Chicago, it's just part of the Chicago accent.
Then, of course,
over by there.
There's Hobart, Indiana, not Hobart.
Yeah.
Right. That's one. And then some people say Joliet. It's not. It's Joliet. Right?
I say it is, but there's people down there called Joliet. I don't know. But again, it's an accent issue. I mean, the same thing is like in LaSalle County.
Yeah.
There are people down there called Lasalle.
Really?
Yeah. Are you kidding?
No, I am not kidding.
Seriously? How about Bourbonnais? I've heard people say Bourbonnais.
What?
But yeah.
I think they're kidding when they say that.
Is that what it is?
They're just Bourbonnais.
I've heard it called Bourbonnais.
Because I've always said Bourbonnais.
Yeah, Bourbonnais. I think down there they call it Bourbonnais.
Yeah. And then
the guys from Lasalle County go
wait
now, you see, now go up from Lasalle County up to Bourbonnais.
You know, another one that was called to my attention recently is I always called it Joe Davies County, but it's I guess Joe Davis County is the correct pronunciation.
Right, even though there's another, that's one of them. That's one of the ones I would like to protest in Illinois.
Yes.
Is why I'll never become governor. Is because I would be in there going, why don't you call it Joe Davies?
Right.
There's an E.
Well, I did, Roe, for many years, and I was slapped down just a couple weeks ago. I didn't know that.
Just because you're from that county, you pronounce pronounce it wrong is not our fault.
Well, apparently one of the founders of communities back there pronounced it Joe Davis. So I was, I usually, you know, will resort to whomever, you know, to that pronunciation from long-timers who have been there and really know what the story is. But it's just fascinating. Of course, we... You know, look what we do to Marseilles and Des Plaines. Right. I mean, you know, the French probably are rolling over their graves.
Oh, God, yeah.
You know,
well, I was just saying this yesterday about when the Larry Hoover thing was, you know, Kanye was talking about that. He was down in the state prison in Versailles. Yeah, and then someone said to me, no, you mean Versailles? I go, no. Versailles. Marseilles, Versailles.
Yeah, right.
And Lund. And wait, what is that? How does that work? No, I'm sorry. That's another
as long as we're going to botch them all, we might as well do them all in unison.
Sure.
Yeah, you know?
Exactly.
Let's
right.
Yeah.
All right, very good. I have a minute here because we're going to talk to the guy who did the Melania Trump interview.
Oh.
Right?
Tom
Yamas from, or Lamas, as he pronounces it.
Is it Lamas?
Yes, he does. From ABC News in just a second here. So,
very cool. Well, I'll just wrap it up by saying we've got a frost advisory tonight, sun tomorrow.
Oh, God.
It'll cloud over Sunday. Sunday night might be another one of the situations we get a little rain and a little wet snow mixed in.
It won't
stick, though.
Oh.
And we'll be above 60 by Thursday and Friday.
Oh. That sounds nice,
Mr.
Tom.
Con.
I like
yes.
how you ended that.
Hey, where?
On an up note.
How cold is it going to be tomorrow? I only get my own personal forecast here at the Northwestern game tomorrow.
In Evanston.
You know, it actually, it'll be a little cooler than average, but we're talking about 53. That's
53
not
and sunny. That's nice.
Yeah. Be a beautiful day.
All right.
Great day.
There we go.
Hey, guys, have a great weekend.
Thank you, Tom. I know we're going to miss
too,
you next
Tom.
Week, I think.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So, all right, well, have a nice sojourn.
Thank you.
As we like to say.
I'm going over to the UK, and then we're going to come across the North Atlantic.
Are you doing this on a boat again?
Yeah.
What's wrong with you? They have airplanes now.
Well, my roommate gets these great deals because he works for an airline. So one of my roommates.
To go on a boat. He gets a great deal to go on a boat from an airline.
Why not?
Hey, I'll tell you, though, I haven't discovered an airplane that has a pool in it. You know, and I love sitting in a pool
on
these
Trump's
things.
Plane. That's right. He's got that.
It's fun to sit in a pool, though, on a ship because you can watch the water slosh back and forth as the boat, ship does.
I get it. All right. Thank you, sir.
See you.
Have a great time. We'll talk to you when you get back.
Thanks, guys.
All right. There he goes. Tom Skilling. Judy, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
Panama City Beach Airport reopens, allowing supplies to fly in.
You did agree to this interview, to your credit, with no preconditions,
correct,
knowing that there could be some tough questions asked. And it has been a tough year for you personally. You're not the first lady to have to deal with her husband's alleged infidelities. Has this put a strain on your marriage?
It is not concern and focus of mine. I'm a mother and a first lady, and I have much more important things to think about and to do.
Step right up and don't be shy.
It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis on 720 WGN. Tonight at 9 o'clock on ABC 7, there's an exclusive interview with Melania Trump. You just heard part of it. Tom Lamas joins us. He did this interview last week in Africa, right?
That's right. We did it in Kenya last Friday.
There was some controversy about this trip, but most of it had to do with what she was wearing.
Yeah, and she, she was someone who feels very comfortable with photo shoots and really touring Africa and working with people and children all across the continent. But the questions about her fashion, she didn't really enjoy. And when a reporter outside the Sphinx asked her about her outfit, she quickly dismissed that. That's part of our special tonight. But really, you know, what we talked about when we sat down was the issue of immigration. We got the real story behind the jacket. You know, and why she broke with her husband on the family separation enforcement. You know, we asked her about life in the White House, what it's like to be Donald Trump's wife living in the White House right now in such a at times chaotic time. And then, of course, we asked her about, you know, all the scandals that have sort of hit her husband's White House and some of the personal struggles that have happened as well with these accusations of alleged sexual affairs.
Do you get the sense that she is frustrated by her husband sometimes stepping on her own message?
I'll tell you this, there were clear times in this interview where she breaks with her husband, and that's something I covered the campaign, the Trump campaign. We never saw that on the Trump campaign. since then, in the 2 years, the nearly 2 years in the White House, there have been moments that Melania Trump has broken with her husband. And I asked her directly, sometimes you don't agree with his policies and you let him know. And she told me yes. And we examined some of those policies and some of those times that she's broken with him and why. You know, one of the big things that we saw when we were touring these different countries in Africa was the role of U.S. aid. She went to several locations where U.S. aid are helping schools, they're helping orphans, they're all over the continent. And the president proposed slashing funding for U.S. aid, so I asked her about this. Congress rejected those cuts, but I asked her about this, and she said she's gonna go back and talk to her husband about it because she saw firsthand the work that that agency is doing in Africa.
Did you get the sense that she actually has any kind of control over Donald Trump?
You know, there was a section of our interview because there's a quote from one of the president's closest friends, Tom Barrack Jr., who said that Melania Trump I don't have the quote in front of me, but it's essentially, you know, she has 100% control over her husband. And she kind of laughed when I read her that quote. She said she wishes that's true. But sources have told us in the White House that she is the gatekeeper, that when she doesn't trust somebody, she will let her husband know. And I asked her about that, and she was very forthcoming.
He's been in office now almost 2 years. Has he had people that you didn't trust working for him?
Yes.
Did you let him know?
I let him know.
And what did he do?
Well, some people, they don't work there anymore. And it's very difficult sometimes because I'm so busy with my office, I don't get involved with West Wing.
Do you think there's still people there that he can't trust?
Yes.
Still working now?
Yes.
She doesn't name names, though.
You're going to have to tune in and see.
Ah, that's a crazy. All right, back to the issue of her husband. Do you actually get the sense he's listening to her?
I think if you look at immigration, you know, we explored this a lot in our hour. If you look at immigration, she did have an impact. You know, at the end of the day, anybody who's covered Donald Trump, who knows Donald Trump, I mean, he is the boss and he's going to make his own decisions. But she hasn't had an impact when it came to something like immigration, and she has let him know. You know, and there were also reports that she wanted to do cyberbullying, that she wanted that to be her calling. It's called, you know, she's called it Be Bested and expanded it a little bit with the opioid crisis as well as just general well-being for children. But the genesis of that was cyberbullying, and, you know, there was a lot of reporting that the president didn't want her to do that, but she did it anyway, and I asked her about that.
What did you see personally that you thought you wanted to tackle this issue?
I could say I'm the most bullied person on the world.
You think you're the most bullied person in the world?
One of them, if you really see what people saying about me. That's why I, you know, my Be Best initiative is focusing on social media and online behavior. We need to educate the children.
That is a very bold, bold statement that has raised a lot of eyebrows. But I will tell you this, whether you agree with it or you don't, it was her honest answer.
That's kind of ironic. But what about the allegations surrounding all these other women?
You know, to her credit, there was no ground rules for this interview. And I sort of set up this section of the interview by saying that I asked her about how their marriage is, what kind of toll this has taken on the marriage, and she answered every single one of those questions and more.
You mentioned you still have a good marriage. Do you love your husband?
Yes, we are fine. Yes. It's what media speculate, and it's gossip. It's not always correct stuff.
My whole pitch to her was, I don't think America knows who you are. I want to give you the opportunity. And I've been trying to sit down with her for 2 years, and she finally agreed. And we asked those questions, and it wasn't only about the affairs. The special is about her living in the White House, the issues, what it's like to be a mother and a first lady. And, of course, the question that a lot of people want to know, what's it been like when all these allegations of Stormy Daniels and others have hit your White House and your personal life has been spread across every single newspaper around the globe?
I support the women, and they need to be heard. We need to support them. And, you know, also men, not just women.
Do you think men in the news that have been accused of sexual assault, sexual harassment, have been treated unfairly?
You need to have a really hard evidence that, you know, that if you're accused of something, show the evidence.
Do you get a sense that there's a reason she finally agreed to this interview?
You know, that's a great question, and it's my feeling that she was ready. She had something she wanted to say.
Tom Lamas, ABC News. What time's the big Melania special tonight?
10 p.m. Eastern. Make sure to tune in.
That's 9 p.m. Central.
You got it, in Chicago. Central.
Thank you for doing the translation for me. All right.
And then on Sunday, we're going to watch the big game.
I'm taking the Bears, and I'm giving you 3 points.
Oh, I'm going to take the Finns. And I'm going to support the great city of Miami. But Chicago's another great city, and thank you for having me on.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it.
All right, I get three there. There was three. He's getting 3 points.
And he calls them the Finns?
That's what they call them down there in Miami.
Hmm. Yeah. He's a Miami guy.
Yes, he's a Miami guy. I don't like it. You can tell he's a Miami guy. He's just, you know, the guy's...
He's impossibly tan.
Yeah.
Year-round.
Year-round. Great looking.
Yeah, excellent. Right. And wears the skinny ties really well.
Right.
Exotic looking.
Yeah. And he's, you know, that anchor skinny kind of, and he's got that... That thing where sometimes he just takes his shirt off for no reason. Very Miami.
Or wears the super tight t-shirt on assignment, and it works well, really well.
Yeah. All right.
He's got it all going.
He does.
And the interview with Mania tonight.
Yes, he did. Been working on it, he said, for 2 years. Judy Bellick's got the news, brought to you by Townstone Financial. It's 4:30. Ro Concho with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN.
It's disappointing. Lou Kanellis came in, but he's not wearing the tie, so it's not going to settle once and for all.
Does anybody have a tie in that? Because I want to see how Lou actually ties his tie.
Oh, man.
I think Charles Williams has a full stock of ties in his office.
I do have I do back at Fox, but I didn't bring any. Today's my off day.
If anybody could find me a tie in the office, I'd really appreciate it. Thank you.
Says you overly tight knot and it's very thick.
So no, not tight. It's a thick knot. I don't know how
what
he does it.
You said
it's a double Windsor. Is it a double Windsor?
Who?
You. Is that a double Windsor knot? What kind of knot is that?
How
or is it a Lou?
I don't know.
That's a sweet Lou.
Quadruple Windsor.
I have my wife tie it for me.
Oh, see, isn't that
so I gotta get Monica to come over here and tie the tie. You know what? We're going to have her over for the Carnarvon wagon just to tie the tie, because I got to learn how to do that, because I try to do that. I try to do, like, because Lou looks cool in that.
He does.
And I can't make that happen for me.
Who, the fat boy?
Yeah.
The fat boys are out of style now.
But you do it all the time.
No, I don't wear the fat boy anymore.
What's the fat boy?
The hell
fat
you
boy
don't.
With the wide collar and the fat.
The fat
No, I know. But you still have a big knot, though. You have a gigantic knot.
See, I made sure I had a small one yesterday. It's funny.
As of yesterday, you changed this?
No, it's funny you brought that up.
I heard you mocking him. That's why.
It's funny you brought that up, because last night I said, you know what? I'm going to go. I'm not into the new style, which is the skinny tie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
the small tie, right.
Yeah, the small tie. You know, right. Like the Jimmy Fallon tie that he always wears.
Yeah, or the right.
But mm-hmm. But here's what I'm finding out. That's what the style is. So if you don't want to look like an old man at 9:45 on Fox every night, then you better get with it.
Look at this. Apparently, a consultant called him and was like, "Lou, we need it,
Bubby,
darling, sweetheart. Listen, we've been looking. we've tested your tie. It is not working.
No.
Exactly.
Women 25 to 49 are not liking it.
One less Windsor.
All right.
Dial it back.
Okay.
I think you look great, Lou, every night, and love watching you.
Thank you, Anna. I appreciate that.
Right. I can't get through a Bears day without
you. Isn't that amazing that I've been doing this for now 10, 12 years, and now that the Bears are good, people are watching. I saw our ratings. Our ratings are up 4 full ratings points on Bears games.
Get out. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so exciting.
Yeah.
You guys do a good job.
And that's why we've been sharing audience with the Cubs, because it's still been a town that's been interested in the Cubs. Last week, the Bears were off, obviously. So I'm excited to see what happens on Sunday. It's an away game at Miami. People have just been jonesing for the Bears after their big win over the Bucks. I'm excited this season, guys.
Yeah.
I was at the game last Sunday, a week ago Sunday, and at halftime, our buddies, and it's me and Lou's buddies too, when Lou's allowed to go to the game, which is never now that he actually has to cover them, he's who we'd go with. And they were like, okay, what do you want to do at halftime? I mean, it was literally, they were making plans to go to the Cubs game, because the Cubs last home, the goodbye.
Yeah. Can they clinch so they don't have to play in the wild card or in that game 163?
So half of our guys took off and went to the Cubs game.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
From the Bears?
Remember the Cubs? At halftime.
Yeah.
Because the game was so in hand at halftime, they're like, well, we don't have to sit around and wait for this.
Well, the Cubs game started at 2 o'clock that day.
Oh, yeah.
So you could have left at halftime.
And it was
the Bears
rain delayed, too.
Still made it. Yeah.
38-3 at that time?
Yeah. Something like that. So there was no reason to stick around. I stuck around.
When was the last time When was the last time you could say that about a Bears game?
I don't know. I really don't know.
It's been so long.
Oh, so much fun.
To have that lead.
And they have players now that people, they're buying their jerseys. It's not Brian Urlacher or Dick Butkus jerseys. Everyone has a Khalil Mack jersey now. There are players that people can identify. Before the season, who is on this team? Yeah, we hear Mitch Trubisky, but a guy who's actually
Brian Urlacher.
Producing. Right, but I'm saying within the last 5 years, I mean, there hasn't been that marketable player that everybody falls in love with, and you have Khalil Mack now, and this town is oozing over Khalil Mack.
There was nobody. I mean, listen, the number 6 jersey, and you were wearing it and really not feeling it because he just didn't have the personality that attracted, you know, to him, but that was the only option you had.
I had a Caleb Haney jersey.
Yeah,
Kate McMahon.
Number 12.
We had a number 6 jersey for my daughter, and she'd never wear it. She's, no!
Well,
a couple others felt that way, too.
Threw it on the ground.
Perhaps several adults.
One of the storylines I want to ask you about, Lou, is this whole Jordan Howard thing. Is he upset that he's not getting carries because Tariq Cohen, they played the hot hand last week or 2 weeks ago. And I'm just like, everybody relax. You don't have to trade him just because Tariq Cohen had a great game. Look, as our Bears insert Adam Hogue noted in his Bears blog this week, Jordan Howard last year, through the first 4 games, had 63 carries. Guess how many carries he has through the first 4 games this year?
63?
Bingo, 63. Yeah. He only had 2 less carries than Tariq Cohen last 2 weeks ago. There is going to be a game that will be the Jordan Howard game this year. Just because Cohen had the hot hand 2 weeks ago doesn't all of a sudden mean Jordan Howard is this ghost on the offense.
Okay, can I also say something else here that is so just ridiculous for Bears fans to be talking about?
The idea
having
of a trade.
Too many players, position players.
Right.
I mean, first of all, there are things called injuries in the NFL.
Exactly.
You want to keep people healthy. And also, sometimes you want to rest a guy. And having a two... like that kind of a punch,
right?
Which is you've got a left hook, and you've got
thunder and lightning.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you've got this amazing ability to do things with these two running backs, and it's and Nagy. I gotta tell you, I don't know how to pronounce his name, but I can tell you this: I thought it was a little too trickification intensive,
too much Willy Wonka,
but now now they're getting it. So as long as they get it, that's the important thing. But other teams will start to pick up on formations like that shovel pass formation. It's almost, you got to be a little careful to the one time where you're gonna have a nose tackle actually intercept the ball and run away with it.
But knowing Nagy, I think he's going to stay ahead of the curve. He will remain smarter than the rest of them. Mm-hmm. Right? That's the kind of offensive mind he has. Let me go back to something that Kevin asked. I actually think he is upset.
I really do.
I do believe that Jordan, and I know Jordan Howard a little bit more than just as a reporter. All right, he's become a friend. And the fact that he left after that game without talking to reporters, to me, he's a quiet guy by nature. But I think that he's a little peeved. But it goes back to when the beginning of the spring.
In April,
when they talked
rumors.
About potentially trading him because he didn't fit into Matt Nagy's type of offense, considering what the Kansas City Chiefs did. And now, through the first 4 games, his carries have been down. Yes, they have been down like they were a year ago, but the difference is Tariq Cohen's carries have gone up. He had a career-high touches last week. He had a career-high in yardage, total yardage, receiving, and running the football. And Jordan, being a quiet guy, I think listens a little bit too much to the outside, and I think it's starting to affect him. Now, someone did call me last night, I'll be completely honest, and said that the Eagles were really talking to the Bears about a potential trade. Uh-huh. And a lot would be determined by what happened in last night's game against the Giants. Now, I have not talked to Ryan Pace. I'm just telling you I got this call. I wouldn't be surprised. The Eagles are desperate for a running back now that Ajayi is out for the season. Mm-hmm. And they feel that they still have the talent to go back to the Super Bowl. So if they can get Jordan Howard for a 4th-round pick like they got Ajayi, then they're going to do it.
Why would we do that?
Why would we do it? Exactly. We would do it if Matt Nagy truly believes that Jordan
for
Howard...
For a 4th-round pick.
Well, that's all you're going to get for a running back right now. I mean, because running backs aren't what they weren't...
But it wouldn't make
sense. He's not Le'Veon Bell. He's not Todd Gurley. He's a running back who, by the way, has rushed for over 1,000 yards in his first 2 seasons. That's something that Walter Payton nor Gale Sayers did.
Right. I'm sorry. I
agree with you, Ro. I don't want to talk about it because I'm a huge Jordan Howard fan, and I think that as soon as the Bears make a deal like that, it will come back to bite them
in the you-know-what,
because that's when they're going to go through an injury issue. Now you're going to be asking Taequann Mizell to fill the shoes of Jordan Howard, and it's not going to happen. And now you become a one-dimensional team.
Exactly.
Now you become Willy Wonka, what was the other one that they started Matt Nagy with? Papa Bear, the play he had with Cohen. And we don't want that to happen.
No, I want to
believe that Ryan Pace is smarter than
You're freaking Roe out over here.
I'm freaking myself out. I got that call last night. Yeah. And I said to my buddy in Philadelphia, please tell me you're wrong. And tell me you're pulling my leg. And he goes, believe me, when I heard it, I thought the same thing.
Okay. I mean, teams take calls all the time throughout a regular season. I'm sure the Philly had called and I'm not dismissing that there weren't talks about it, but the Bears would be idiotic to make this trade. Even if that was on the table.
Hold on a second. You must stop talking now. We are going to move on from this subject because it is so ridiculous, so inconceivable that at this very moment.
Thank you, Your Honor.
At this very moment where Bears fans are outrageously excited about this team.
Yeah, let's get back to the positive.
There are so many weapons on board. Why would you screw that up? This team has a possibility right now, after the first quarter of the season, going 3-1, this team has a possibility of making the playoffs and maybe even making a run.
Well, let me ask a question about that, because when the schedule was first announced, I immediately snapped up tickets to the Patriots game because Tom Brady plays, right?
Yeah.
And you know, he's super perfect and I love him to death, but I thought there was zero chance that the Bears would have any possibility of winning that game. And now you look at it, isn't it possible they could beat the Dolphins? And then what if in New England? What would you think?
Every game's possible for this team because their defense is the best in football.
Yeah, it's really good.
I mean,
you think Tom Brady is so immaculate that Khalil Mack can't touch him?
I think we'll see.
Defense is amongst the top 10 in every defensive category out there. So I'm talking about quarterback sacks, interceptions, forced fumbles, net yards, you name it. They are in the top 10 in every defensive category, and the last two and only two teams to do that are the 2009 Denver Broncos and 2016 Seattle Seahawks. This is a really good defense, all right? And if it stays healthy, and listen, they played as well as they did in that Bucs game, and Amon Kamara wasn't even out there. He was sitting that game out with the hamstring injury.
Is he going to be?
He should be a go. He was full in practice today. The good news on the injury front, it's pretty much a clean slate right now. That's something you haven't seen with the Bears in a long time.
Mac is getting better. I mean, people forget this guy had 6 weeks of practice before the first game at Green Bay.
Okay, your preview matchup with the Dolphins this Sunday. Before we get ahead to the Patriots, how do they match up with Miami?
I think they match up great, and I think they're going to pitch a shutout.
Wow.
Miami has struggled the last two games. All right. Ryan Tannehill has been turning over the football. I think he's got 5 turnovers in the last, it's either 4 turnovers and 5 quarterback sacks or 5 turnovers and 4 quarterback sacks. My point is the offense hasn't been working in Miami over the last two games. And now you're going up against the best defensive team in football.
With a banged up offensive line for the Dolphins.
Exactly.
All right.
Now, that doesn't mean that we have to put the pressure on Mitchell Trubisky to go out and throw for 300 and what, 50 plus yards?
He's got the magic arm sleeve. He's fine.
Hey, man, whatever he has to wear to bring back that magic, I'm all for it.
Keep wearing it.
Yeah, all right, everybody stop. I'm upset and excited all at the same time. So I need to talk to Judy, that always makes me upset. She's got the news at the top of the hour.
I'm the calming voice. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's what you are. Very calming.
The president says he'll talk to the Saudis about a missing journalist.
Oh, that's right. I get right on it.
This week on Chicago's Best, it's piled high, stacked between two buns, and finished with outrageous toppings. An all-new Chicago's Best Burger, Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV. Tune in to the Steve Cochran Show, Monday morning, 7:50. Get yourself a free pair of tickets for the Chicago Blackhawks.
Right now, caller number 19, 312-981-7200, wins a pair of tickets to Flamenco Passion at the Mac Theater. College of DuPage on Sunday, October 21st, direct from Spain, or as I like to say, España.
Very nice.
Yeah. Lead dancer Eduardo Guerrero, Campaña Flamenca, and live musicians captivate with classical contemporary Spanish dance. For tickets, 630-942-4000 or go online to atthemac.org.
My favorite line this week from Hallis Hall, this will get you excited,
Kevin
after
Powell.
Scaring you, was Akeem Hicks after talking about his relief of not getting suspended. He said, okay, well, what's your mindset going into this game? He said, destroy everything. And I was like, let's go. Let's go run through a brick wall right now.
Sweet Luke Canellas, Bears expert, aficionado. I don't know anybody who knows the Bears better for the last 40 years in this town.
Thank you.
Even though he was 10.
And I'm like, how old is he?
I was still going to the games back then.
Yes. Do you... All right, so you already think that this is going to be a significant win for the Bears.
I think their defense is so superior. Number one, you can't run against their defense.
Mm-hmm.
It's, in all categories, one of the best in football. And I just think that Miami will have a tough time moving the football. I do think that the weather could have an effect on the Bears.
It's going to rain?
It's going, I don't know if it's going to be rain, but I know it's going to be hot and humid.
They said a heat index near 100.
Yeah. And that will have an effect.
That's a little too steamy.
It is too steamy. It's a little too steamy. You'd want to be in a box for that one, Row.
Yes, I would like to be in a box. Mm-hmm. I don't really like it like that.
No. I could
I
can assure you there'll be more Bear fans out there than there will be Dolphins.
Man. That's a great Bears trip
there. That's probably true. All right. So if we just kind of looking ahead here, let's assume that they win, and they will win. You know, let's say, Lou, if I had to ask you this question, by more or less than 3 points than a field goal, what would you say to that, Lou?
Ro, I'm telling you they're going to win 24-0.
Wow.
Oh, so pound the under. And the Bears is what you're saying.
Yes.
Get Boris on the line.
Now, this is the same guy who on Fox Kickoff Sunday 2 weeks ago changed his pick from the Bears, and I took the Bucs. And I heard about it from Bears fans for a solid week after.
Yeah.
So I'm all over the Bears in this one.
Okay. I see what you're doing there. But I don't know. The over-under is going to be very low in this game, I think. If I could just, you know, get all inside.
I just don't think Miami can score against this defense.
And we'll wait. Let's see what happens in Miami before we start talking about New England. Because
bring me back for New England.
Yeah.
We should bring you back.
We'd like to bring you back every week. We'd like to bring you back for the Jets. We'd like to bring you back for... It's weird that they're playing four AFC East teams in a row.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
They
did that a few years ago against the AFC West. Broncos, Raiders, Chiefs, and Chargers.
Okay.
Just a quirk in the schedule.
And they've got the Giants on the schedule, which is huge, because watching them last night, they may be the worst team in all of football. They might be worse than the Browns.
That would be nice to play them.
They are so bad.
That's a disgruntled group fighting on the field
other. Although they did have, you know, once the guy quit, they had a great game. But then,
is that the one who quit in the middle of the game?
Yeah, there was a guy who quit in the middle of the game. Oh, yeah, gosh. It was not so good. All right, Sweet Lou, thank you very much. You can see Sweet Lou on Fox 32 weeknights. And all day Sunday.
Yes.
We got the post-game show after the game on Sunday on Fox 32, so make sure you stick around.
Thank you very much. Judy Pylak in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom coming your way in 2 minutes. Rocaggio, that end of Lanza's right here on 720
yes.
WGN.
Happy Friday.
Thank
you. This feels good.
Yes. It does. See, we got a big weekend ahead of us. And before we mention that, I should mention that Judy Pylak is going to be Sunday at the Goodwill Store and Donation Center in New Lenox. And she is playing to scare you. And if you're anything like me, you'll be scared.
And I'm going to dress up, so I'll be even extra scarier.
Yeah. You don't really need to dress up to be scary, Judy.
I knew that was coming. Yeah. Oh, she set you up for it.
Yeah. She'll be arriving on her broomstick, but she's got it. She got a new one, though. She said,
"Yes,
right?
It's much faster, and it hits a lot harder." Oh, look! I'm talking. There's that music again.
I like her in that TV ad where she says, "The mirror never lies, darling."
Plus, one lucky customer will win a spooky Halloween masterpiece that Judy has created. You're not going to want to miss this. It's going to be a lot of fun. There's free food from Bartolini's and a chance to win prizes, including Hawks tickets and Bears tickets.
That's right.
Wow.
So for all you Bears fans not watching the game, come and win the Bears tickets.
Right. 441 East Lincoln Highway. Hey, listen, let me tell you something. Between noon and two, the Bears game may be over by 1 o'clock going the other way, which is the damnedest thing. Not
Lou Canales just said shutout is possible. Predicted it.
So
perfect.
All right. Now, let's see.
Is Lou saying 15-1 now? Revising his 9-7.
Hey, you know what? Now Richard Roper joins us. Now, Richard, you and I worked with Lou many years.
Yes.
And we actually even did a sports show together, which was the most ill-fated and ill-conceived thing in the history of broadcasting.
Yes.
But.
Through no fault of ours.
But Lou is a bit of a front runner. I think that's what we can say.
Very pro-Bears, optimistic.
And I would say that I'm with him right now. Yeah, I'm as excited as I could be. Although he just said that Jordan Howard might get traded, which worries me. That would be the dumbest thing of all time.
Is Lou still driving the 2016 bandwagon? I know he's had that.
Oh, I see what you did there. Yeah. Okay.
The This is the one time when I think everyone's on board with Lou's and his predictions.
Man, I think we might be. Here we go.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right.
Number five.
Well, turns out that the, it's just not, politics not what it used to be. It's not gentlemanly anymore, is it?
No.
I give you this case. Scott Wagner is the Republican candidate for governor in Pennsylvania. He's taking on a guy named Tom Wolf, who's a Democrat.
Hmm. Yeah.
And the incumbent.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Now, they've been running ads against each other. And then there's one ad in which they say Scott Wagner, who's a business guy, because it's the, you know, it's the era of the businessman running for elected office.
Mm-hmm.
We got two running for governor here, right?
We do. Two.
So they... there's an ad that is running by a Democratic PAC, not by the governor himself, but by the Democratic governor, but by the Democratic PAC that's supporting the governor, okay, that is accusing the Republican businessman, Scott Wagner, of strong-arming 7,000 customers into paying their garbage bills, because that's what he does. Oh. He does, it's got a company that...
Waste management?
Waste management.
That would be the first time in waste management history that anyone has ever accused anyone in that industry of doing anything smacking of illegal.
It's just a straight up
activity.
And up kind of business in general, right, isn't it?
So, what did Scott Wagner do? Also very mid-21st century almost now thing to do.
Huh.
He went on the internet to threaten his opponent.
Well, Governor Wolf, let me tell you, between now and November 6th, you better put a catcher's mask on your face, because I'm going to stomp all over your face with golf spikes, because I'm going to win this for the state of Pennsylvania, and we're throwing you out of office.
This is where we are in America now. I'm going to stomp all over your face with golf spikes. It's not even, I'm going to kick in the teeth.
Yeah, he's mixing his sports up. Dude, sports metaphors there. Golf spikes and a baseball catcher.
Only a millionaire business guy that would go, you know, I'm going to do this golf spike.
I'm going to lace on these custom-made Nike golf shoes.
Although the
with leather insoles.
The truth is I have to have the soft spikes, because they at my country club, they don't let me actually use the hard spikes anymore.
Right. Then he's going to take a lacrosse mallet and hit it across his head.
Right. But he's telling him in advance to put the catcher's mask on, so it won't work.
I know.
You get hurt. You hurt his feet trying to stop.
This is nonsense.
This is the new thing, though. Republicans think they got to sound like Trump.
Yeah,
I think
Trump
can get away with that.
Yeah,
I think so.
Get him out of here.
Yeah, I think Trump is because Trump is when he does that, you're like, this is a guy who grew up literally. He was 6 months old and a millionaire, right?
Mm-hmm.
The only fights he was in were in prep school, and they sent him to military school because he kept hitting people that were unsuspecting on the play lot, right?
Wow.
I mean, it's not like he's not really a tough guy. He's playing one as president. Mm. So if this guy, although, you know, he is in waste management, maybe he is. Must be a tough guy. Okay.
Don't mess with him.
All right. Checking in at
number four.
Melania Trump speaks out. This is a clip of tonight's ABC television show starring Tom Lamas, who we talked to an hour ago.
Sure.
He has skinny ties.
He has skinny ties, and he smells great.
Oh, nice.
There's Melania, best cologne. So there you go.
Yeah. He's been working 2 years to get this interview, and he finally got the interview.
Good for him.
And, you know, she goes kind of there. He tried to get her to go places, but, you know, she's pretty wily.
You did agree to this interview, to your credit, with no preconditions,
correct,
knowing that there could be some tough questions asked. And it has been a tough year for you personally. You're not the first lady to have to deal with her husband's alleged infidelities. Has this put a strain on your marriage?
It is not concern and focus of mine. I'm a mother and a first lady, and I have much more important things to think about and to do.
From all of the teasers, it doesn't seem like she's saying very much. No. It feels as if she's, you know, prepared answers. But we'll see. The president.
Are they going to give away the milk for free?
No, I don't think so. But usually there's some kind of little bit of, I don't know, something.
They leak something.
They leak a little something, don't they?
Well, the ABC World News Tonight is coming out in about 12 minutes. You might see something.
Might see a little something there. Yeah. Donald Trump has, the president has already tweeted out, don't miss our great FLOTUS Melania on ABC 2020 tonight. Ever. So he may be proud of it.
This one kind of got me, though. Listen to this.
The only time you have commented publicly your office was when Rudy Giuliani came out and said your thoughts about Stormy Daniels' claims and said she believes in her husband. She knows it's not true. Is that an accurate statement?
I never talked to Mr. Giuliani.
Why do you think he came out and said that?
I don't know. You need to ask him.
You mentioned you still have a good marriage. Do you love your husband?
Yes, we are fine. Yes. It's what media speculate and it's gossip.
It's a speculating. Now, I have to say that when she said, I'm fine. Fine. It's the F word. It's the ultimate F word. How do you look in this? Honey, how do I look? You look fine.
Good.
Fine is never good. Fine is the answer you answer when things are not going
Thank
well.
Thank you.
It's not a super
Add
strong.
A sure in there, and then, you know, recipe for success.
What's she going to say? Have you seen this giant tub of lard? I'm glad other women are taking him on. I mean, you know.
Less for me have to
You can have him.
Yeah.
She didn't say.
Whatever. Poor Melania.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, that's a tough position to be in. And give her credit for not taking any questions off the table. Because you've seen that before, for sure, with first ladies in particular and other people. You know, they can have those types of interviews. She didn't.
She didn't have to do the interview, though. I mean, I give credit to Tom Lamas for getting her to do it, but I don't know that it's consequential, right? I mean, she's not really saying anything, and she's not going to move the needle here, I don't think, in terms of, because there's a bunch of stuff where she talks about the Be Best thing, which is greatly ironic, right? Because she says that she's being bullied.
Yeah.
Well, but her husband is setting a tone of bullying that's, historically unprecedented.
Maybe that's who she's talking about.
Okay, maybe that's it. Yeah. All right, we'll get to your three, your two, and your one. But first, Judy, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour from the WGN newsroom?
Well, it's beginning to feel a lot like Christmas in the Chicago area. In some areas, it's even beginning to look like it. Merry, merry, Ro.
That's your broom. Where's Violetta?
This November 6th, you have the power to influence the course of politics. Follow the most comprehensive local political news online, chicagotribune.com/midterms.
Top 5-5 continues.
Number 3.
Alec Baldwin's got a talk show now.
Huh.
I don't know. Did we need this? I'd rather have him on Saturday Night Live.
Mm.
Here he is. This is a little clip of this with Taraji P. Henson.
Oh.
Cool. People ask me, who do I want to interview? And I say, Obama. And now that he's not president anymore, are there things he can say that maybe he, and nothing dramatic, or nothing, kind of inappropriate we want to ask him. I just want to ask him, as I often do, about what the emotional life of the president is.
You know, he does the same thing for me that Trump does. I just imagine being duct taped to a chair in a burned out factory and having a guy with like torture tools opening him up in front of me. That's I get the same feeling.
What evidence do we have that he's a great interviewer? That's the issue, and that's always the thing.
The podcasts are good, but I'd like to hear him interview like his brothers.
Right. Yeah. Those guys don't all get along. Like Steven, not all on the same page.
Who's mega? Well, that'd be good.
Yes, maybe just the two of them together for 1 hour
that
special.
Would be kind of fun.
Number 2.
A list is growing for artists that sent cease and desist letters to President Trump because they don't want their music being played. You got REM.
That's me in the corner. That's me in the spot.
Adele.
We could have had it.
Wow.
She's very upset. Sir Elton John.
And I think it's gonna be a long, long time.
Aerosmith is not happy.
Sing with me, sing for a year, sing for the left, sing for the...
And the most overused band by Donald Trump, the Rolling Stones.
You can't always get what you want.
I never understood playing this at his rallies.
I don't either.
None of those songs fit. The first one's called Losing My Religion.
Yeah, I know. I think he
then
gets
there's
it.
There's one about how it didn't work out. We could have had it all, but it all went to... Mm.
This is his thing.
Is he rubbing it into the Dems?
Yes. No, he's rubbing it into his own people. They don't get it.
Dream on? Like
5 years from now, when they look back on this and they look at their MAGA hats and go, what did I just do? There's going to be that moment where they go, he was punking us the whole time. Now Prince. Yeah. Now the fans of Prince are raising a red flag over his use.
Purple rain.
He did this in Mississippi.
Oh.
Prince never even did it in Mississippi.
Maybe he should just play.
I mean, I never remember, like, Biloxi, a warm welcome. Is anybody out there for Prince?
Oh, man.
He should probably stick to Kanye and Kid Rock.
Wow. Yes, right.
Those two on his team.
Yeah, Kanye. He should play some Kanye.
Oh,
that's
gosh.
What he should do.
There's some lyrics.
Blast the crowd.
Start playing some Kanye at
Gold
his
Digger?
Rallies.
How about Gold Digger?
Yeah. And let's see. Right. I don't find that very funny. Okay. Let's see what happens there.
Wow.
And all the people are like, what in the hell's that? All right. Okay, so...
This is amazing.
Number one.
Kanye goes to the White House. Late night television had a field day. Here's Jimmy Kimmel.
He praised the president's male energy and implied that Donald Trump is the strong, supportive father figure he never had. Eric and Don Jr. were like, yeah, join the club. This ranting and raving. This is the kind of thing that happens on the subway in New York, not in the Oval Office. Watching this today, the only thing I could compare it to is Tom Hanks talking to Wilson the volleyball.
Oh my gosh.
That is really true. I mean, Kanye, a couple weeks ago, posted a video under the L tracks here on Lake Street.
Mm-hmm.
He's working on, you know, I don't know if he's really moving here.
But he met with the mayor's pal, Michael Sachs. He met with Superintendent Eddie Johnson, and he also met with a Regal Theater owner. So
But he's been here the last couple of weeks on and off doing stuff. And he did one of these ranting things on his cell phone underneath the L. And I'm like, I see that every day at State and Lake, every day.
That's why no one noticed.
Sadly true.
Yeah. And so this is, I don't understand. I don't, but that's okay. It's not for me to reason why.
It actually is. We need you more than ever, Rokan.
I think it's time now to close this thing up.
The top five at five.
To alcohol, the cause of and solution to all of life's problems.
Yeah! Drink, man, I'm gonna get gas. Gonna get high, man, I ain't had enough. Need me a triple shot of that stuff. Gonna get drunk, won't you listen right here? I want one bourbon, one shot, and one beer, one bourbon, one scotch, one beer.
Tastes great, makes women appear more attractive, and makes a person virtually invulnerable to criticism.
Alcohol is a way of life. Alcohol is my way of life. And I aim to keep it.
Find it, buy it, make it. I don't care. Just get me some booze and fast.
I can't take this much longer. I gotta have a beer.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
I answered your question. I don't answer questions in simple sound bites. You are tasting a fine wine. It has multiple notes to it. We aren't a side. We are one unit. We are one country. This is our president. He has to be the freshest, the flyest planes.
He might not have expected to have a crazy mother like Kanye West run up and support.
I'll tell you what, that was pretty impressive.
It's a bad day to stop drinking. That's all I'm going to say.
Fine wine.
Yes, yeah, so like a fine wine. Well, we have more than just fine
we
wine
do.
Here, my friends. For the Carnival Wagon, we have Carnival, which is one of the great restaurants in Chicago. So much fun. And they have brought in a spread unlike any other spread, unlike the likes of which the world has never seen before. Isn't that what we're supposed to say now? Is that the common phrase du jour?
Mm-hmm.
And Maria Dillon is with us, and Maria has been making cocktails. Now, I want to start. I'm going to start backwards here. This should have been the thing that we talked about last. We're going to talk about it first because it's. I couldn't believe what I saw when it happened.
Mm-hmm.
There was a whole like martini glass filled with cotton candy. Right? Am I right about that?
Yes.
Okay. And it's real cotton candy.
It is. We make it in-house.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh. Really? Yeah. Well, I guess you have to have a cotton candy maker, right? Like a machine for that?
Right.
Okay. Because I'm just thinking, can you do that in your stove? I don't know. I'm wondering about that.
You need the machine.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, and who's the guy who thought that it was a good idea for a machine? Now I start to think about that with the cotton candy. Big glass, martini glass of cotton candy. I saw them walking down, that, oh, that's like a decoration of some sort. That would go on a table or something, right? Yeah. No.
Mm-mm.
Then she came around with a shaker full of something and poured it over the cotton candy.
And it disappeared.
Yeah, cotton candy gone, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, hold on.
It dissolved kind of into the, it became like a pink drink.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I said, Cosmopolitan? They're like, no.
All right. So they said, stand back and don't light anything near it, is what they said. And let me hold on 1 second here.
Real sampling it.
Okay,
right
now
it's pretty good. Oh, wow.
It's pretty good, isn't it?
Wow, is it good.
Yeah, okay. Now, I'm not really tasting. The funny thing is, like, cotton candy could be, like, super sweet. This is not super sweet.
Not at all.
No, it's
what
not.
Did you just do
citrusy.
To me? What is
it's,
that?
Well, it's Carnival Martini is going to be cotton candy, which we make in-house. Mm-hmm. It's organic, which is also lovely.
Very important.
Very, very important.
But
keep your drinks organic.
Okay,
it's very healthy.
How is cotton candy organic? It's just sugar,
right,
isn't it?
Don't ask questions like
sugar.
That.
Oh, okay. All right.
So
okay.
It kind of makes you feel a little bit happier that you're having an organic cotton candy martini.
All right.
And then we have our Carnival Vodka.
Okay.
Some fresh lime juice, a little bit of fresh grapefruit juice, and then we have just a little bit of the cotton candy and shake it up in a shaker, and it disintegrates.
It's the grapefruit juice that's selling it.
I think it is.
Yeah.
Something about that. It cuts the sweetness,
you're
and
right.
It's really
it's right
tasty.
There.
I really want this for breakfast every morning.
Oh my gosh.
But I
start
think,
tomorrow, Ro.
Yes, I believe. Yeah. Tailgating.
Yeah.
I believe that someone would call the police if I did this. I think this would be a problem.
It's
that,
dangerously
you'd be
good.
James Bombed instead of James.
Oh, there. Nice. Really well
shaken
done. Very nicely thought
so
out.
Cotton candy martini. Is that a special
amazing.
Drink for you guys?
It is. It's one of our signature cocktails. Been on the menu as far as the beverage menu for around 10 years.
Wow. Oh.
Very high in demand.
I would imagine that's a good date night kind of a thing, right?
You know,
sort of.
Honey,
hey,
I got you some cotton candy.
Take a look at this one, right? And as a matter of fact, have a second one if you'd like. Yeah, that's it is really, it's really, really good. All right, and
it's
what
2018?
I know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. All right, that's right. What is the? That's right.
What else they got, Ro?
I got. You know what I'm going to do? I'm just not going to say anything ever to a date again.
You're fine.
This is where Melania Trump was right. All right. What else did you make? You got a mojito.
Made
right?
a classic mojito,
right.
which is just going to be cruising rum, fresh muddled lime and mint, and then lime juice and simple syrup.
Get my rap name in the 90s.
Shaking that up and then
goes
into a glass.
Too.
Nice and fresh and refreshing and light.
Yes.
And then the other one is a coconut mojito.
Oh, it's very
so
interesting.
So same ingredients and then we add
almost looks like milk.
Fresh, yeah. Well,
right?
It's fresh coconut puree.
This and now I could see doing this. I could see
so
having
good.
This grapefruit-ish,
mm-hmm.
although it's cotton candy, martini, like as my grapefruit juice,
mm-hmm.
and then I could have this mojito that looks like milk
mm-hmm.
poured over my Fruit Loops.
Oh,
and,
this
and
is great!
Sort of.
I see what you're doing.
This is how we
breakfast.
Lost the war. I think is how
the
this
coconut.
Goes.
If Don Draper had been on Gilligan's Island, he would have figured out a way to make this.
Wow.
That's fantastic.
Really well done.
Yeah.
And then the food is very, very good too. I saw that you brought this pork thing in here. That
so we have a lot of different things going
I know.
On here.
Beautiful.
We have. Actually, what you were just holding up.
Yeah,
it's got the.
So that is our Roba Vieja. We were just featured on the Travel Channel for that.
You
nice.
Can tell. I mean, those are they look just special.
So mm-hmm. Once again, the shell itself is a malanga shell, which is mm-hmm. a tuber, a root vegetable, and that is made in house as well. Mm. Braised veal cheeks, a little bit of Amarillo pepper
uh-oh.
Aioli,
mm-hmm.
some pickled onions, and then some queso fresco.
Oh, Roba Vieja is not easy to do. You got to really know what you're doing. Some people have tried it, and they have failed. I can name one I know of for sure. That would be me.
Hey, you try.
But it is. I mean, it's definitely it's a Cuban expertise it is required in this sort of thing. Mm. Do we have a registered Cuban in your kitchen that we can
we
go
do.
To? There we
do.
Go. That's all we need because Cuban
good.
Food is to me it's one of the great mm-hmm. cuisines that you don't get enough of in Chicago.
Mm-hmm. No, you don't. I mean, our food is basically it's a Latino fusion. That's what I would
so
say.
So you're doing a lot of...
So we're doing a lot of twists on things.
excellent. I'll eat that during the break because the entire thing. And then and you're doing this is like a pulled pork over polenta kind of
thing. So that's this is called Lashon Asado, and it is a braised pork shoulder from Slagle Farms, which I'm very proud to say we do utilize a lot of local farmers.
That's very good.
And it is on a bed of Hazard Farm free grits. You have
I changed
bit.
The name of that, by the way.
Why?
Hazard Farm. I don't know. So guys, all guys with one arm come to the. We lost to the combine. You know, that doesn't sound right to me.
And then you have a little bit of plantain mojo that sits on top of that. Mm-hmm. And then it's finished off with some pickled onion and a little bit of cilantro. Beautiful in its own natural jus.
There's one thing your food doesn't lack is flavor. There's like robust flavor to each and every dish. Even your guacamole just has, there's something in it that just tastes like zing. Maybe it's citrus too. I don't know.
Lime juice in the guacamole.
So delicious.
Everything. And the nice thing about it is everything is made to order. So like with the guacamole, cut, smash, add, you know, you're adding your cilantro, you're adding your onions, you're adding the fresh lime juice, and it comes to the table. And everything is
so
made
fresh,
with love.
Yeah. It's love.
You
it's
can see the
smashing stuff with love.
Yeah, and
important.
On top of everything else, the presentation, it looks like when people enhance their Instagram, but
yes,
you don't have to.
It's like,
I mean, the colors
it's
are
like
popping so much,
there's
right?
There's a filter on our food.
We don't
like
need the
that.
Filter. Yeah, it's unfiltered deliciousness.
Hashtag no filter. I'm sickened that I even know what that is. All right. Okay. Now, all right. Carnival is 13 years in Chicago. 13 years.
Right.
It's pretty great.
And you think about the neighborhood, how it has changed over time. You guys were sort of out there and everyone loved coming to you, but now you're in the middle of everything that's going on in the Fulton Market, all the headquarters that have moved there, all the fancy restaurants and the foodie places. It's very vibrant.
It is. And it's from the minute you walk in the door, I don't know if anybody has ever been there.
Oh, yeah.
We've done shows from there.
Thumbs up then.
We've done full shows from there.
Open. You walk into this unbelievable, like, visual, stimulating, it's almost like theatrical in a way.
It is.
And it's from the time you walk in and you walk through the dining room and the bar, every area that you go into, even to the restrooms, it's just absolutely stunning.
Feels
it's
like
gorgeous.
A party.
Cool. It does.
Yeah. It does.
It feels, people see it from the expressway all the time. You see, what is that?
Right.
I mean, when it first went,
yeah.
It's
very colorful.
A dozen of years ago, yeah.
Yeah, not a lot of people know what it is from the expressway,
right.
Too. Yeah.
Something's going on there. We need to get to the next exit and find out what it is.
Right, but then you get on the next exit, and it's Ohio, and
that's
it takes
right.
You off.
Forget about it.
How do I get there from here?
Where is this letting me off?
But Fulton Market, everybody knows that now, between, you know, just north of Randolph, and that has become just, it's right by the big, you know, welcome to Fulton Market. Sign.
That's right. You're on Fulton.
We are right on Fulton Market.
East of Halsted.
Correct. So. Being there for 13 years, keeping up with the time, evolving, it's been exciting.
What a success story.
You know?
Maria Dillon, Director of Operations, and she seems to know it. It's Hispanic Heritage Month. So I think we should all be going out and celebrating this in our own ways with our friends and our family. And Carnival is a great way to do it. 702 West Fulton. And if you'd like to make a reservation, you could just go. We're like Open Table. Open Table says you're one of the hot 100 restaurants in America.
This is a true statement.
Huge.
Real news.
We don't believe in that here.
Oh, my gosh.
As a matter of fact, let's find out from Judy. Do you believe in real news? And if you do, what do you have coming up at the top of the hour?
My news is always real.
Okay.
The DOJ to
still
send
very
in...
scary. She's still very scary.
The DOJ to send in the feds to help Chicago's gun violence.
It's flu shot season, and Monday morning at 6:40 on the Steve Cochran Show. Tune in. Dr. Kevin Most will be in studio giving the flu shots to the show members, and you should get yours, too.
All right. Carnival Wagon has rolled Carnival.
Boy, has it.
Has provided us with an amazing assortment of things.
Just tried the salmon.
We will,
wow.
Yes, yeah. It is the best. And Richard Roper is here. We're going to finish up our reviewing.
Yes.
And then we got live music Friday.
Fantastic.
We got it just doesn't end here on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. And Richard Roper is going to share with us not only we're going to get through the kind of review the reviews, but we're also going to review the greatest moments of all of our careers was meeting Ryan Gosling and looking into the deep pools of his eyes. That's what we're going to.
It.
Yeah.
Oh.
And I'd just like to say that to drive you nuts.
I know.
Because you weren't here.
Because I would have loved to have been here for that. And on top of it, you know someone is an amazing actor who is very good looking. And then he shows up and all of the people on the show say, wow, is he nice? Engaging.
Yes.
Interested in other people. Asked questions about others. I was like, wow. How is that possible? It doesn't always go that way.
True. That's true.
It doesn't ever go that way.
It really doesn't.
No, it doesn't ever go that way.
You know, we always say this though. Usually, it's like the bigger the star, usually is the nicer they are.
Isn't
you
that
referenced Tom Hanks earlier? And it's
absolutely.
Like, it's the little punk who's just done 3 movies and got a People's Choice nomination or something who comes in with an entourage of 50.
I've already decided though.
Just act snotty.
I have already begun to put together my Oscar list.
Yes, you have.
Oh,
based
good.
On true,
based
YouTube.
On commercials. And a picture. Now I've seen a picture of Tom Hanks playing Mr. Rogers. You know, there was a tragedy on that set.
Yeah.
They're shooting that in Pittsburgh, where Mr. Rogers actually did shoot the Mr. Rogers show.
Shot it, huh?
And Tom Hanks is playing Mr. Rogers, and that's not coming out until next year.
That's
but
correct. Yeah.
It is but when you see Tom Hanks as Mr. Rogers, he is unrecognizable as Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
He looks just like him.
Seems like just perfect casting, right?
I don't fully understand. Now, I have watched, I'm going to dive into something totally different here, but I have watched the that Jim Carrey.
Kidding, it's called.
Kidding show on Showtime, right?
Yes.
And I am so freaked out by it. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to do with myself. It's so haunting. It's a Mr. Rogers-esque character as
right.
a terrible tragedy in his life.
Mm-hmm.
And he's trying to make his way through it. And it's supposed to be like a dramedy, they call it, where it's a comedy and a drama. And I have to call like a suicide prevention hotline every time when I'm done with it.
It's really, really dark and creepy. I mean, and deliberately so. And one of the co-creators is Michel Gondry, who did Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind with Jim Carrey, which is a great film, but also just like what is happening kind of stuff.
Right.
And yeah, I mean, it's you know, Jim Carrey, oof, almost too perfectly cast. Because he's almost like the character, he's almost like the children's host off camera as well. He's very naive about certain things and has strange stalkerish behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Weird.
Really weird.
Weird, and he looks weird. And
yes.
and it's sort of this it's permanently almost winter when you're watching it.
What is it's Kidding? What is it about?
It's about a guy like a Mr. Rogers-esque character who's a long-standing, nationally famous local kids host. As Mr. Rogers lives in
does he have sort of a dark
Pittsburgh
history or
he has he has undergone a terrible tragedy. And he's trying to live his grief through his children's show because it's about sort of explaining the unexplainable to simpletons is the idea.
And I think it's Columbus, right? But as you mentioned,
Columbus, Ohio.
You know, so it's out of the Columbus, Ohio PBS affiliate, but it's a national show. So for 30 years, he's been this beloved children's TV host. And now he wants to start bringing things up like People Die episodes.
Right.
Like he wants to do episodes like that and tell the kids about death. And his father's the station manager and like all kinds of strange.
It's very, very weird. And I know no one's asking me to recommend anything, but I can't recommend it.
I would be with you on that. I mean, I reviewed it in the first couple episodes and it's certainly well made, but it's not something I want to stick with. It just doesn't have that.
No. It literally is something. Believe me, if you've had a bad week, don't watch it.
Really?
If you've been drinking too much, don't watch it. If if you've just gone through a serious problem, don't watch it, because it takes you. I guess in some respects, it's so well done that it takes you to that space. But I mean, I don't know.
A dark place you're talking about?
Oh, it's so dark.
See, I just finished Sharp Objects. I can't do anything dark for a little while.
Yeah,
I need a break.
That one was, you know, great soap opera dark, you know, but also like,
so
more
good.
Accessible. I don't know now, because I'm off on the episodes. Did they show the episode of Kidding yet where the young woman who was like a crack addict hooker has her life changed by the show? I don't know if they've shown that episode yet, but
I have not seen that episode.
It's insanely good. And not to give too much away, there's a young woman in her you know, filthy apartment and is in the middle of being abused and other things by a man as she's, you know, dealing with drug addiction. And the show pops up as in the corner, the show she loved as a child, and it changes her whole life.
So there is a redeeming.
It eventually results in them meeting, like her meeting her.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And then,
Is Mr. Rogers is going to date a crack whore?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Well, she cleans her act up because of that one moment where she's reminded of, you know, the possibilities that she had thought about when she watched that show as a child.
Okay. All right.
That's, I mean, just
is that going to make you want to watch it again?
No, it does not make me want to watch any of this right now. All right, everybody stand by. Judy's got news coming your way for the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom in 2.
We went faster, harder, stronger, like the secrets that we held were precious to the world. And nobody quite could catch us, but we let our hearts lay bare for all to see. What you doing? How do you get to pee so fast? Nobody runs like that.
That's Nikki Morgan, and she has just stepped into the studio, and she is prepared to blow you away. Coming up in about 20 minutes on Live Music Friday.
I'd say there's a pretty good chance of that.
Yes, Someone Else's Game is that song from the Broken Parts EP. It's an EP, which is, it's like an LP except it's an E. That's the way, I think that's how they do that.
Whatever it is, it's really good.
Know. There's math to that in some way. I'm not exactly sure what it is. She's going to be at the Haymarket on October 25th. That's Thursday, October 25th, part of their Americana series. And then she's going to be at the Elbow Room for the Songwriters, Songwriter Singing Songs event at Elbow Room. So she's a singer-songwriter. Chanteuse, singer-songwriter, poet.
Yep.
Thinker.
All of the above.
Sort of like myself, except without the musical talent.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's what
kind
that
of eliminates
is.
All of those things.
I can't, I sort of, one by one, I checked them off as I was saying them. All right. So stay tuned for that, man.
Really
that is,
talented.
That is really going to be something. And don't forget, Mr. Richard Roper has stepped into the studio. And this is a gigantic weekend for the films, for the movies, for the things that people want to go see, right?
All kinds of films, different genres, different levels of skill, but overall, yeah, very good week. Of course, everybody's been talking about First Man, as we have as well. Damien Chazelle, the director of La La Land and Whiplash, reteaming with his La La Land co-star, star, leading man, Ryan Gosling. Of course, they were here. I believe the whole interview's up on the...
Please rub it in. I was not here that day.
Well, can we show you more pictures of
I know.
Of Ryan?
Did you see me with Ryan Gosling? How about Judy with that Ryan Gosling?
I couldn't get rid of the
Richard?
Kid. I had to change my number after that, too. It's like, hey, what are you doing today? I'm like, dude, we're done, okay? Move on. But it is actually, it's a great film. I'm giving it 4 stars out of 4, because Violetta likes to ask someone sometimes how many stars you can give, because she's like, well, there's more than that in the sky.
Yeah.
But we top it off at 4 stars for First Man. Brilliant film. It covers a period between about 1961 to July of 1969, and the space race, Mercury, Gemini, and Neil Armstrong. It's interesting because there have been a lot of great miniseries and obviously documentaries, and you could fill a library shelf with books. There's never been a major motion picture about one of the most obvious subjects you'd think, which would be Neil Armstrong being the first human being to walk on the moon.
Right, they did Apollo 13.
Apollo 13 about Captain Lovell, of course, and who never did get to set foot on the moon.
Was there twice and didn't get a chance to set foot.
Exactly. And for whatever reason, partially I think because Neil Armstrong himself was not, you know, the myth is that he was a recluse. He wasn't really a recluse, but he didn't, you know, really get out there and sell 7 books and say, you know, try to have movies done about him and participating in all that. Of course, he's passed away about 6 years ago. And his wife, his first wife, who was with him for 30-some years, has passed away. But they worked with the family, his Neil Armstrong's sister, his sons, who, by the way, we were talking earlier about some unfounded and ludicrous criticism because they don't show the flag being planted on the moon. But his sons have said that they think it's an absolutely brilliant film and that their father would have loved it. And
the,
Rose
wait,
had a chance
sons,
to see it.
They, wait.
Neil Armstrong's boys.
Neil Armstrong's sons weighed in on this? Why were they asked to weigh in on it?
Because, again, about 3 weeks ago, after a film festival, somebody who saw it either Toronto or somewhere else said they'd never show the American flag being planted on the moon, which then led to Fox News and a host of other conservative commentators saying Hollywood is making this an un-American film. They're eliminating the American part of the story. Donald Trump, the president of the United States, says it sounded like an absolutely terrible film and he'd never see it. Of course, this is all without seeing the movie. So it was being, you know, ripped out here and there. And it turns out, of course, first of all, there are 2 shots of the American flag on the moon, not being planted, but there are 2 widescreen shots where you see it. There are also Vulture, the website, counted 14 other references, I believe, visual references to the American flag.
Well, even beyond that, there's a very stirring scene The one thing about this film is it is about the family as much as it is about the space program, yes. because the Armstrong family endured some pretty significant tragedy. And so they were, it's kind of the set in which this is all taking place. The mindset that Neil Armstrong and his family, his wife and his son, were going through at the time that he became an astronaut.
When they lost their, you know, their 2-year-old daughter to a brain tumor, Karen. Oh, and as depicted in the film, one of the reasons he decided to go for it, to become a part of Gemini and then Apollo, was a fresh start, as his wife says. You know, we can move, we can get a fresh start. And as Ro mentioned, you see a lot of the astronauts' families, they live across the street from each other or down the block. They all socialize too, so the wives would become close to the wives. And as history knows, not, you know, there were more than one tragedy on the way to the moon landing.
Yeah, and that's the United States space program in that era lost a number of people, and that was not. And there's one. I'm glad that they do this because, you know, they think about, you know, you talk about the Mercury program, and you saw that in the great, maybe, you know, among some of the great, one of the greatest films of all time is The Right Stuff. You get to see the Mercury program, and no one gets lost in the Mercury program, right? Nobody dies in the Mercury program, in the Mercury program.
Right.
But a very famous astronaut from the Mercury program dies famously during the Apollo program. There were two other that were lost in a plane crash that no one ever talks about. And this is, and it's, you know, it's kind of a little bit about the brand building of NASA, and they never wanted to talk about it. They didn't want to, it was a story at the time, but not even a gigantic story at the time. And they pay really nice tribute to those guys.
Yeah.
Because for a while, the Russians were waxing our tails in the space program. They had all the firsts. They were first in space. They had a bunch of other things that were going. They were first to get around the moon. But the U.S. had decided to get a device around the moon. The U.S. said, you know, we got to beat them. We got to get on the moon. And there was really no chance of doing it in a lot of ways. I mean, the government didn't want to fund it. There was a loss of allure over it. I mean, you see that essayed a little bit in Apollo 13 as well, where they don't put it on TV anymore.
Absolutely, yeah.
And once they got to the moon, once Neil Armstrong touched the moon, right, there wasn't, you know, they were like, oh, yeah, we've done that. But there was something about this particular exercise. And a lot of things were going wrong. And they never talked about it. You know, Walter Cronkite didn't talk about things that went terribly wrong. But they did. And it was by the seat of their pants that they were able to do this. And this is why this movie goes into the, you know, your box set of the three great space movies of all times, which is The Right Stuff, Apollo 13, and now First Man.
Yeah, and that's the thing about this film, too, because we talked a lot about, you know, the history and how accurate it is. And so many scenes that really did take place. They really were at the White House trying to, like, you know, glad hand the senators and all that when the accident occurred with the three astronauts dying in the electrical fire during a testing thing. But in addition to being, you know, this accurate depiction of things, it's also, it's really just entertaining as heck. I mean, the filmmaking techniques are incredible, and so much of it is actually shown from the point of view of Neil Armstrong. So you get that kind of claustrophobic sense when he's climbing out of the lunar module and coming down the staircase, and they use the actual transcript, of course, of what was said. But it's just beautiful too. It's beautiful film.
Yeah, you see it from inside his helmet, right? As you also see the moon landing from inside the lander.
Yeah.
You don't see it like coming. It's not an exterior shot watching it come down. You're watching these guys as the moon's rushing up at them. And they're like,
what's going to happen?
And there's
that's
a moment
exactly right.
where
You're right.
they were this close, and my fingers are not very far apart, this close to cratering in an actual crater.
Yeah.
I mean, they were literally a half second away from crashing into a crater, and that would have been, you know, that would have been the story we'd be talking about today. And
absolutely
they prove that in this film. You know, they show that in this film. So I just want to say something to all of the trolls. I know you don't need me to tell you what to do because you just get a great thrill out of trolling people and saying outrageously obnoxious things. But it is once you do see the film, or you have family members or other trolls see the film and realize that it is a great American story about really flying by the seat of your pants and doing everything you can through grit and through math and through this incredibly diligent project of human endeavor. you should be, you will be ashamed of yourselves. And I think that Donald Trump will see it and think to himself, I really shouldn't have said that about the movie. Because it really, it's going to get Oscar nominations.
Absolutely, yeah.
I love that there's the history, there's the space and the cool cinematography that goes with that, but then it's also the story of what was in his mind at the time, and I suspect that the person we all perceived him as in the history books is not exactly...
He's more complex, yeah, not just somebody you read about in sixth grade history, and beautifully done. And as Roel mentioned, it's incredible what was done in a compressed amount of time, because they mentioned, I think, in the film at one point, when John F. Kennedy, President Kennedy, famously said we wanted to get to the moon by the end of the decade, we were only about 30 years past the first flight across the Atlantic Ocean.
Right.
Literally.
We'd literally left the ground 50 years, essentially, prior.
Yeah, for the
first
time.
60 years prior to leaving the ground, right, at Kitty Hawk, were they flying around, approaching the moon. So think about that. And then think about what happened 60 years ago versus what's happened now. It's pretty incredible, the changes. But that, learning to fly and then flying to the moon, within two generations is an amazing feat. And it is a beautiful movie. It's really well done. And it just appalls me to no end. And one of the reasons Fox jumps behind that is this movie was made by some of their mortal enemies, which is Universal, which is owned by Comcast, NBC Comcast. And it is but there's no politics in this movie other than America being what it is. It's a true story of what happened. And it doesn't besmirch anybody. Buzz Aldrin looks a little more like a jerk than I thought him to be.
Really?
But
Buzz cracked a guy in the face when he was 85 years old. He is that guy. So it's pretty accurate.
True. I thought he just became that guy.
No,
he was that guy.
He was kind of always that guy.
But other than that, it's a beautiful American story. And really you can take, there's the death of the child early on. And so it's not really a spoiler, but that's a little hard, I think, for younger kids to take, maybe if they're watching it. But if you have a hearty child to take to this who loves space, it's a very good movie to go see.
Well, it sounds like my daughter. We just met Captain Kelly in the airport, and she was thrilled. She told him she wants to go to Mars, and he says, "I do too."
That's awesome.
It was the best exchange. She goes, "I want to go to Mars," when he goes, "I do too."
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah. Although there's one training scene in this where you might decide that you don't want to get in the space business.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. There's you a little bit about what
exit
physical training
is.
Was it close enough? All right. Let's now check in. Let's find out from Judy what's coming up at the bottom of the hour in the newsroom.
Marching to the polls tomorrow.
Nikki Morgan, who's in the studio with us, as Everything I Am. Nikki's got an EP out called Broken Parts. I do understand that particular track is not on Broken Parts, right? You can buy that individually, is that correct?
Yeah, you can download it online to Bandcamp and SoundCloud.
Bandcamp and SoundCloud. I think what we're going to do here is we're just going to Google Nikki.
Yeah, just
do the Google. Everybody tries to bifurcate and figure out and go, no, but you got to do it here and there. I think if you just Google it and you'll pop up on all these things and then people should just download from that.
You can go to my website, too.
Nikki Morgan Music. I'm on the site right now. I love your cover photo. I don't know if it's for your new album, but it's like you. It looks like Under the L Tracks.
Yeah.
And it's Nikki, N-I-K-K-I.
Yes.
This, we should make that. If we're telling people to go do that and it's radio, we should spell the name properly. Nikki Morgan, like Morgan, like any kind of Morgan.
Like Morgan Street.
Yes, exactly. Like Morgan Freeman, like there's a bank, House of Morgan.
Morgan Fairchild?
Yes, Morgan Fairchild. Anyway, now, this is really interesting. So you went, Kevin's going to be very upset about this. You went to Bradley University.
I did.
Yeah.
Fear the Bird, War of 74.
The War of 74, right.
On 74.
So he went to Illinois State. Yeah. And then, so that's, you know, that's a big deal, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I recall that. Mm-hmm.
Right. So you're from North Carolina originally. You went to Bradley, and then you came up to Chicago to be an actress.
I did, yeah. I was a theater major at Bradley, and I tried my hand at acting and realized that I wanted to do something a little bit more personal in the creative realm. So went back home to North Carolina, did some soul searching, and decided that music was really what I wanted to do.
Did I read this properly? That you, now it's the year 2018. Right now, right? Is that, can I check
yes.
that? Yes, it's the year 2018.
Absolutely true.
May I look at
Let
the calendar?
Let me check my phone.
All right. Okay, good.
Yes.
You did not pick up a guitar until 2014.
Correct.
What?
You'd never played guitar before 2014.
Yeah, I had, okay, so technically that's a lie because I had tried a couple of times, played like, I learned a few chords.
But you, in but earnest, didn't. You didn't do it until 2014.
Yeah, no.
And we just heard you playing the guitar.
What?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't realize I was such a fast learner at instruments.
What other instruments did you play already?
Right now, well, now I play guitar. I'm learning how to play the piano, and I play the harmonica a little bit. I played oboe and clarinet in middle school, mm-hmm. and didn't realize it until now that like I learned that pretty quickly. So, yeah, I think it's always been a natural gift that I didn't realize.
These musical people, I do not understand the musical person.
It's just in them. It's just in them.
I can't get it.
And to an outsider who can't do it, you just can't. Nothing works.
Right. It's like a language thing. It's like people are really good at language, or they're good at music, or they're really good at math. I'm good at none of those things.
I mean, now tell me to point to somewhere on a map. I won't be able to help you out.
I'll help you on a map. See, you need me driving the car. I could do that.
You can drive her to her gigs.
I'm good at spatial.
You drive the band bus.
Yeah, the band bus.
You'd be a lot of fun
on the
road.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Just ask anybody who travels with me. I have a ton of fun on the road. All right, so you came back here after you started playing guitar for a couple of years. You've been up here, what, for 2 years now?
3 years now.
3 years now?
Yeah.
And you're doing the club scene, you've recorded an EP, and you're just about to take off. Wait till you hear Nicky Morgan. What inspires you? What music did you grow up listening to that you like?
It's funny because I grew up actually listening to only Christian and gospel music until I was about 18. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of got
through your family, I'm assuming.
Yeah. I'm like preacher's kid through and through, like the stereotypical thing.
Mm-hmm. Did you sing in church?
I did a little bit, but never like any like big solos. Mm-hmm. And then once I got into like quote unquote secular music, I just kind of went, I wanted everything. So I listened to everything from like emo to hip hop to rock music and country music. And so my influences tend to come from everywhere, and it's not necessarily like one band or one genre. It's a little bit of everything.
But you're doing the Americana series here.
Yeah.
I tell people to go to Haymarket.
Absolutely.
To see the music at Haymarket.
Some of the best artists.
Right. It's spectacular. Yes. The level of
and
talent.
And it's free.
Yeah.
Thank you to Haymarket because they really have put together, they've assembled some of the best artists and up and coming people in the industry.
Yeah. It's like walking in, like down Broadway and Nashville.
It really is.
You go from any club to any club and there's amazing music being played. Well, at Haymarket, it's the same thing. You walk in and you're like, these are, who are these people?
Right. You'll be paying to see them pretty soon.
Yes.
Big money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of those like up and coming artists coming out of Nashville. A lot of it. It's kind of created this kind of like highway between Nashville and Chicago.
And there isn't a good highway between Nashville and Chicago. I've driven it. It really kind of
turns out hard to get to.
It really is.
How do you love like performing? Is that a piece of it? I mean, you've been an actress, so I would think that part of it comes naturally.
Oh, yeah. I think that really helps me. It kind of gives me an advantage because I started out being a little bit more comfortable with performing. Mm-hmm. The biggest thing for me in performance is that I want to connect with people. I don't want to just stand there and play songs for you to listen. Like, I want us to exchange energy and emotion and, like, experience something together. So,
all right, well, let's start doing that. What are we sitting here for? Having this conversation. All right, get into your position here. Nicky Morgan is, you can find her on the internet at NIKKI, Nicky Morgan, MORGAN, and she's on the SoundCloud, she's on the Band Bandcamp. She's all the places where young artists can be found. But she has an EP called Broken Parts. And I'm assuming you're going to do a song here from Broken Parts. Is that right?
Yes.
All right. All right. What is this called?
This one's called Love Game.
It's all yours.
Think you are coming round here like that? Necktie nice and neat, your hair is clean and slicked way back. Staring at me as if you got me where you want me at. But danger, darling, think twice before you come round here. Your pride is fickle and it won't take much to make it disappear. I'm watching and I got you where I want you, dear. They say time heals wounds. Well, there's been some time, and I'll tell you, darling, these scars ain't got no room for you. So face the wicked truth. Oh, that love's a game, and that's all right, 'cause I'll never play that game again with you. Look at these eyes that couldn't bear to watch you walk away, or the lips that begged and begged for you to stay. Well, they've been longing for the chance to make you feel the same darn way. So danger, darling, think twice before you make your move, 'cause I am not the same old girl that you could stand to lose. You're watching, but I tell you, I have learned a thing or two. They say time heals all wounds. Well, there's been some time, and I'll tell you, darling, these scars ain't got no room for you. Love's a game, and that's all right, 'cause I'll never play that game again with you.
That's Nicky Morgan.
Not bad for Bradley Brafe.
Yeah, not bad.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
How about that? I know Illinois State's got, like, you know, some very, very impressive alumni.
That was awesome, Nicky.
But
well
I think
done.
Bradley can be very, very, very proud of you know, one of their own. So congratulations
absolutely
on that. All right, more music with Nicky Morgan coming your way. Nicky Morgan, by the way, spells her name N-I-K-K-I. So you can look Facebook, Nicky Morgan Music. You can find her at, you know, on the internet. Where everything is stolen. All right. Andrea, you've got the WGN News at the top of the hour. What's coming up?
I do. Well, the Women's March is tomorrow in Grant Park, and its message is twofold. We'll have that story coming up at 7.
All right, prepare yourself to be blown away here. Do you have something to say?
I do. Dan Hampton joins the Steve Cochran Show Monday morning, 7:10. Tune in for a recap of the Bears-Dolphins game.
Andrea Dollars is standing by. What did I just call her? Andrea
Dolphin?
Andrea. Andrea Darlis is standing by in the Northwestern Medicine newsroom at WGN Radio, coming your way at the top of the hour. Be prepared to be blown away and perhaps injured by the greatness of this artist, so that you have to go to the Northwestern Medicine to be cured from what is going to happen. You'll cry. You'll have an emotional spasm of some sort, and you might sprain your larynx or your pharynx or something like that. Oh. Because Nikki Morgan is unbelievable. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having
me. You can see Nikki at Haymarket Thursday, October 25th. Right, so that's 2 weeks from yesterday. Mm-hmm. If I have that right. I never know what the date is. And then this is a very cool event. The songwriters singing songs at Elbow Room, which is a great club.
Yeah, great venue.
On Lincoln Avenue in Chicago. So if you and you've written all this, right? This is all from your mind and heart and all of that?
Stuff. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, there's some, somebody did her wrong at some point.
She's pulling stuff from inside of her, and that's good. We love it. It feels real.
That Love Game song, that should be an anthem of the modern era at this moment, which is like, hey, you're out. You are out. All right, what do you want to do for us here?
This is a song called In the Dead of Night. $2 to buy a dime, so I drink to ease the corners of my mind, running wild in moon so cold, then close my eyes to kill the sun before it shows. Do you think of me in the dead of night, when the trains roll by or when the birds take flight? Do you think of me in the dead of night, when the trains roll by or when the birds take flight? Oh. If I could go back to the day before the tides had changed, before they washed away, I would hold on this, I know. I would hold on tight and never let you go. Do you think of me in the dead of night, when the trains roll by or when the birds take flight? Do you think of me in the dead of night, when the trains roll by or when the birds take flight? Do you dream of love like the youngins do, before time sped up before me and you? Do you live your life every single day, or just wait for luck to come back your way? Do you still drink your wine like you used to do, when you'd live your lips until they turn blue? Do you run the tapes back inside your mind, and then wonder why every single time? Do you think of me in the dead of night, when the trains roll by your, when the birds take flight? Oh.
Well, Nikki Morgan right there. Mm. Nikki Morgan. If you want to find her on the Facebook, Nikki Morgan Music, and go see her coming up at the at Haymarket 2 weeks from yesterday, October 25th.
Very cool. Thursday
thank you,
night.
Nikki. Thank you so, much for being with
Thanks,
us.
Nikki.
Really appreciate it. We've got, we'll talk to Patty and Andre coming your way in 2 minutes.
Hi.